You found it. The most censored broadcast in the world, the globalist fear. The Alex Jones Show. It's Thursday, August 29th, 2024. Get ready.
InfoWars. Tomorrow's news. Today.
We are 67 days, 12 hours, 59 minutes, 34 seconds. The most important, hands-down, election in world history. Then we've got the 76 days of hell when the globalists are going to pull out all the stops. Once and if President Trump is president-elect, that's 143 days. That's the real number we've got to be watching, and then it just gets crazier after that. We're not in a normal election cycle. We're not in Kansas anymore, as they like to say. We are deep inside the new world order, and they are battling for total global supremacy to bring in their medical tyranny, their technocracy, and use us as guinea pigs for their attempt to create a breakaway type 1 civilization and merge with machines and become gods. That is the religion of the globalists. That is their entire AI plan. Now, I always say we got a ton of news, which we always do, but today is, on a scale of 1 to 10, it's like a 9, and we rarely have days this crazy. And I can't just cover these articles individually, because if you just look at it individually, it's interesting, it's frightening, it's crazy. But if you tie it together, it can be very constructive to understand the enemy plan. And so there are road warrior Mad Max developments, and the numbers show it, not just what we can see. The numbers are very clear. That the defunding of the police and letting criminals know that they can get away with any type of crime they want to commit has created a total sense of lawlessness. And all over California and other leftist-controlled states, they're just burning and ransacking businesses every night. And the police do nothing. And then we've got illegal aliens trying to hijack multiple school buses today or yesterday in San Diego. Started seeing reports of this months ago, and it's even on local news, and we saw the Venezuelans bragging, we're coming to America to take your property, to take your homes. They've now taken over a bunch of apartment complexes in Denver alone. Somebody needs to go cover this. And they just come and point guns at people and throw them out of their houses, and they collect the rent. I mean, imagine if you randomly went to an apartment complex and kick somebody out and pointing guns at them. The police would show up in 3 minutes. There'd be a SWAT team that'd kill you. And they should. But because it's illegal aliens and Venezuelan gangs, the Democrat-controlled Denver has chosen to let this happen, and they're working with NGOs and others. So I've been hearing about this really for a year with them bragging they were going to do it. But I mean, for 6 months, I see it in Portland. I see it in L.A. I see it in Denver. I see it happening in Chicago. Even some areas in Texas, like Houston. I mean, this is unbelievable. And then, I didn't see it on my list, but I want you guys to get the clip as well that I posted on X of a 7-Eleven being ransacked. Don Luker reported on it, and no police responded. And that's the key. No arrests were made. So that's just one of the stacks. And all of these stacks are just as important or more. The Pope says you must open your borders or you're of the devil. It's a sin. Meanwhile, if you've ever been to the Vatican, I have. It's amazing architecture. The lowest walls are about 60 feet tall. Some of them are over 120 feet tall. Biggest walls I've ever seen around Vatican City. And, I mean, we're talking 10-story tall walls that are 50 feet thick or more. And they don't take one illegal alien there. I mean, it's just so transparent. It's like Kamala Harris is on the trail again saying, you know, vote me in for change and stop the terrible things happening. And you've been in power for 4 years. I mean, it's just, it's the murder logic. Okay, that's just two of the things. I mean, it's just, it's all over the top. It's all coming up back in 60 seconds. We join a bunch of stations that join us then. Follow me on X at Real Alex Jones, InfoWars.com, Bandai Video.
Emergency alert. Emergency alert. Illegal alien hordes now hijacking school buses as apartment complexes across the U.S. are taken over by armed Venezuelan gangs. Yours truly, Alex Jones, report on the Mad Max conditions now hitting America. And these are probing attacks by the criminal gangs, MS-13, others the Democrats are in control of, the CIA. Massive news on that subject today. Huge 2024 election news. On the heels of the founder of Telegram, which is bigger than X worldwide, very similar, being arrested and now charged with possibly allowing criminal activity on his platform that billions use. They can charge anybody with that. They can say somebody makes a comment on InfoWars, arrest me under this standard. Now the Brazilian Supreme Court, 2 weeks after Musk announced he's pulling out of Brazil because they're threatening to arrest his crew and now threatening him with obstruction of justice criminal charges, the bizarre Supreme Court judge that dresses and acts like Nosferatu or, in the English, Count Dracula, is saying he wants Musk arrested. I put a video out last night that's gone viral on Real Alex Jones, warning Elon Musk not to travel to the EU or Brazil. You can bet your bottom dollar. You can bet your boots that they will try to arrest Musk. The globalists are moving on every front because they are desperate. They're also putting out all these different fake polls that they admit Harris is paying for and flooding like they're real news stories that she's 10 points, 20 points ahead, pulling ahead in battlegrounds, all to make you think we're losing so they can steal the election and try to make it believable. But they're pissed that X is still getting into the country, so they're pledging to build a Chinese communist firewall to block him in Brazil. You say, who cares about Brazil? It's a very important country, the most important in South America. And as goes that nation and other nations, so goes the world. The communist-controlled government there that's established a totalitarian system is openly being advised by the Biden State Department on how to carry this out. They've, of course, indicted Bolsonaro because he's really the most popular person there, barred him from running for office, the same things they've tried to do with our El Presidente, the big one, El Jefe Trump. So we've got all of that news coming up. Also, the globalists know they're feeding you poison and giving you poison shots. They know that's their plan. Sterilize you, dumb you down, slowly kill you, suck the money out of you when you're dying. But now everywhere I see the headlines to counter Robert F. Kennedy Jr. and Trump and myself and Tucker Carlson. What if ultra-pasteurized foods aren't as bad as you think? And more articles. Nutritionists say GMOs good, organic bad, cyanide good, mother's milk bad. They're also trying to ban nationalist parties all over Europe, calling them Nazis. Germany's far right predicted to make biggest gains ever since Nazi era. So we don't want open borders and globalism. You're a Nazi. Continuing, Texas AG moves against Democrat plan to steal 2024 election. Raids conducted on safe houses suspected of registering illegals to vote. More raids are happening as we speak. Continuing here, we've got huge news on the Ukraine war front. We've got a lot of other censorship news, poison shot news, U.S. Navy sailors crippled by COVID jab, 17 support ships to be sidelined due to post-COVID manpower issues. Not from COVID, but from the poison shots. Unbelievable. So that is just some of what we have coming up here today. Before I drill into all of that and tell you about the special guests that are coming up, let's look at the globalist plan of replacement migration. That's an official plan from 2000. It's all over the UN's website. They describe what it is. They want to bring in 640 million illegal aliens into North America, the U.S. and Canada. They want to bring in 400 million into Europe all by 2040. Now, that plan is 24 years old, and we're now deep into its implementation. But if you talk about it, and if you say anything about it, well,
then the ADL calls for your censorship, your debanking, your arrest, even though it's a completely real plan assaulting the living snot out of us. Now, I could show you hours of stabbings, rapes, and murders that come out every few days out of the UK and out of Europe or out of the US. But you see it, you know what's going on. But you could say, oh, well, they didn't know these guys would stab or rape at a much higher frequency rate. In Europe, upwards of 80% of the rapes, murders are the Islamicists, even though they're just about 15% on average of the population. Think about that. And if reporters report on it, a lot of times if they don't say it just right, or they say the race of the person or the region, they get arrested. And we've played the judge's rulings. Well, you get 22 months in jail. You said a disproportionate amount of the precious migrants are raping. 22 months in prison. But just today, we have multiple school buses they tried to hijack in San Diego, the illegal aliens. We have news reports out of L.A., out of Portland, out of Denver, out of Houston, anywhere the Democrats control things, sanctuary cities, of Venezuelan gangs particularly, who in the last year we've played many videos of them saying in Spanish and English, come with me, my comrades. We are going to America. The government loves us. They're going to give us free houses and homes. We just take them. If you take homes, you get to stay in them in America. And in the blue cities, through the Democratic Party law firms that sign these folks up for welfare and sign them up to vote, they are then designated and told what real estate, private homes and apartment complexes, they are allowed to take. And then with weapons they illegally have, though you saw that federal judge appointed by Obama 4 months ago say that illegal aliens have a Second Amendment. They have a right to own guns, buy guns, and now they're telling, the ATF's telling gun shops, this is in the news, sell guns to illegal aliens. We have millions and millions of military-age men brought in under Biden, over 20 million people total, the same backpacks, the same shoes, Muslims, Chinese, Latin Americans, and they all work for the globalists. They're all given government cell phones, and they are directed where to go and what to do. And then they bring in and smuggle more humans in. Clearly, they're going to use these apartments they're taking over in key cities as smuggling bases. They then sign them up to vote, sign them up for welfare, get them jobs, and then the gangs collect the money, keep part of it, and pay it to the Democrat Party law firms. That's why AG Ken Paxton in Texas, raiding a bunch of locations the last 3 days, illegal alien safe houses, including state reps and city council members' homes, they're the ones that actually they use for the safe houses. And you wonder when you see the endless videos that we've shot, others have shot under Obama, Biden, where they come and just hand babies over to social workers. They put them on airplanes with no paperwork. They disappear. It's babies. It's children. It's teenagers for slave labor. I mean, this is just massive crime being committed. And the AG refuses to let the good federal judges, and there are quite a few, and magistrates, charge the smugglers when they find them. That's why you'll see the headline. Smuggler who was, you know, convicted 3 times of raping children and dealing drugs, caught again and released. Or caught 6 times, caught and released. You see it every day. And I've talked to the judges and others, and it's in the news, where the Justice Department will not let them charge them. They can only hold them under the law for 1 month for crossing illegally. That is something that the feds under statutes can't block. Congress passed the law. They also, a year ago, but we now learned even before that, ended the funding before the funding was even gone. Now it turns out 2.5 years ago, the congressional hearings last week, or actually 2 weeks ago, with the whistleblowers, that they ended it 2.5 years ago, a year into the Biden administration. They just said, well, we have the money for it. It's already allotted, but it's a one-day DNA test to see, it'll tell you, is this person a father, a mother, an uncle, an aunt? Is this person a first cousin, or is this person not related? And so you have people with these babies. Sometimes the babies have been brought across dozens of times. I think one case was 36 times, and they let them through with the baby. So they got drugs, you know, in their guts, their mules, in the adults. They get across. They hand the baby back over. It crosses back over to Mexico. And when they're done with it, they just throw the baby in a cornfield. They find dead babies every day, find living babies every day. It's just barely in the local news. Yeah, another baby found, another one-year-old found. So that's what's going on. If you want to find the article, just type in illegal migrant. They were calling them illegals. Convicted 4 times of human trafficking or 5 times for sexual abuse. Released by the feds, arrested by local police. That's always the headline. And some days, not even looking for it, I'll see 5 or 6 articles just not even looking with a similar headline around the country. Imagine how many you don't know about. So let's start, before we get to shock video, armed Venezuelan gangs occupy apartment complexes, unleash hell on residents, and the local newscast, everything. Before we do that, let's play the local newscast. Fox 5 in San Diego, a group of illegals tried to hijack school buses carrying children, 2 different ones, on their way to school in California. And then I'm going to play this clip of the Pope, and I'm going to pull up images of the walls of the Vatican. I've shot video myself somewhere in our archives. I mean, it's like, you see the telephone poles look like they're 1 inch tall compared to it, and you look and the wall's 10 times taller than a 20-foot telephone pole. I mean, when I say hundreds of feet, some of the, they got to be 150, 60 feet tall. The lowest is like 80 feet. I mean, it's just gigantic. The biggest walls you've ever seen. And, I mean, Godzilla would have trouble getting over it. He'd have to climb over it. And they don't take any illegals in there, but there's the Pope. He's been doing this since he got in. I think it's a sin to not bring the illegals in, but he doesn't take one. I mean, that is so hypocritical and such a fraud and oxymoronic on its face. It's just insane. By the way, I knew it would happen on Drudge today. I've got the headlines here. Trump stole Kamala's idea for no tax on tips. I said a few weeks ago when she stole the idea, I said, once they've said it's her idea, now they'll say Trump stole it. I mean, this is, if you thought they were lying before, ladies and gentlemen, the level of lying has reached incredible proportions. No video, no witnesses, no victims, no nothing. They claim I pee on children's graves. I send people to pee on graves. They testify in fake court hearings, and I can't cross-examine. I knew we were in trouble then. That was years ago, 2.5 years ago. You know, if you're going to say somebody's pissing on people's graves, you better have a witness, you better have a video, you better, no, just make it up. But again, you thought when they got caught lying about all this stuff, they would back off. No, no, no. Double, triple, quadruple down, like publishing a fake letter, a love letter from Tucker Carlson praising Kamala Harris and gun bans. Totally fake. They don't care. What they do. So Denver seems to be the epicenter of this. A whole bunch of apartment complexes have been taken over, and I keep watching and looking for it. I mean, look, I'm not going to do this. I'm saying hypothetically. If I got an AR-15 and I just went to even a poor apartment, you know, lower working class, you know, cheap apartment, let's say 1 mile away from where our offices are. There's a bunch of, you know, working class apartments, some nice ones around here too, but a bunch of working class ones around here. And let's just say I took an AR-15 and I went and banged on a door and said, get out of here. I'd probably get shot. But within maximum of 5 minutes, there'd be 4 police cars, and cops would be pointing their guns at me saying, drop the gun. And the second I didn't drop the gun, they'd fill me full of holes. And they should. This is being allowed. Because I've been seeing a year of the Venezuelans saying, we're coming to take your property. And they've done it all over the country, in Democrat-controlled cities, Chicago, you name it. Houston, really bad in Portland. And Matt, this is being ordered by the government. I mean, there are local newscasts that I've been seeing for months that show these different apartment complexes. I've seen the same one in 3 newscasts over several months. And they've taken over most of the apartments. They've kicked the people out that won't pay them rent. And the police aren't even there. They've been ordered not to go in there. And one thing about the Venezuelan gangs, they're like MS-13. They will have a firefight with the police. I mean, are the police just scared? And I got to tell you, I don't really speed anymore. My one sin is speeding. When the road's not too busy, I'll speed out in the country or wherever. But I don't even do that anymore just because it's a risk I shouldn't take. I mean, I rarely go above 80 miles an hour. Even when the highway says 80, I'm usually over the middle lane going like 78. I don't see police in Austin anymore, other than there's a fatality or something. You don't see them. They're not out writing tickets. You say, well, that's great. But it's just homeless people and criminals running around everywhere. Everybody I know is having their home broken into when they're gone at work, or their cars. We're a city that hasn't completely adopted Sorosism, even though they got rid of a third of the police. So just imagine if armed men had taken over an apartment complex for months. And it's not like it's some dilapidated, burned out old building. You know, I grew up in Dallas, and we would go, even in middle school with the older kids, and drive to South Dallas because the only place you could go in those black liquor stores, they would sell a 12-year-old beer. We weren't 12. I mean, I was 13, 14, but the kids were driving us over 16. But we would go pool our money and get beer and go have a party. That was about the extent of my delinquency. But I remember, as I got a little older, some of the kids would want marijuana, and I didn't really like marijuana. I've had it, but I didn't really like it. And they would, right next to the liquor store, would be like a four-story old burnout apartment. And I never went in them, but some of the friends would go in there for 2 minutes. They'd come out with like a dime bag of weed or whatever. So I know this goes on. But these aren't just crack houses where the police kind of, you know, raid them once a year but turn a blind eye because it's just going to move somewhere else. These are pretty decent apartments with families being thrown out. And there's old white women and old black men and young families saying, we really don't like being thrown out of our apartment, but the men with guns said so. They live there now. And where are the police? I mean, today, if I saw a cop car at 7-Eleven and I ran over and said, hey, armed men just took over that apartment, there'd be cops in 5 minutes. But in Denver, they're not. So the reason I'm harping on this is a setup. So let's go ahead and go to one of these newscasts. Here it is.
Migrants tried to board a school bus this morning while it was traveling to a school. The superintendent for the Jamul del Zura Union School District informed parents of that incident earlier today. It happened at one of the stops on the school district's bus route that heads to Oak Grove Middle School and Jamul Primary. Meanwhile, yesterday afternoon, in a similar area along another route, the superintendent says that a group of migrants tried to stop another bus. Border Patrol, CHP, and the Sheriff's Office have now been informed of these incidents. The superintendent says that for the safety of everyone, if a driver sees a group of migrants at a bus stop, they will drive past it and move on to the next.
That's like Canada. They openly said in a bunch of provinces, I played the newscast here, you need to put a box on your front door with your car keys in it. That way they won't break out your windows or come in your house and take the keys. Well, how about you just tie your wife up with her legs spread out front in case they want to rape her? So just if somebody's trying to climb on your vehicle like Road Warrior, Mad Max, or trying to hijack it, just drive around them. We'll go to break, come back, and get to all this. And I've got newscast too and video, raw video, of the Venezuelans. And you'll just see 5, 10, 15 of them just walking around, pulling people out of apartments, aiming guns at people. I mean, it's just absolutely insane. Yeah, here's the newscast. Colorado has Aurora has a problem with Venezuelan gangs taking control of apartment communities and terrorizing residents. We're going to play you that newscast too. I mean, there's like dozens of these. And the thing is, they don't just raid them and rob them. They stay there. I mean, imagine if I led a group of 15 men and just went to an apartment complex and threw the apartment manager out and just took over the building. There'd be SWAT teams and armored vehicles and helicopters in 10 minutes. What the hell is going on here? I mean, this is crazy. And the same Democrat governments that have defunded the police and won't let them do their job want our guns so we can't protect ourselves. Boy, I mean, imagine the Venezuelans came to this office. That'd be the shootout at the OK Corral. I guarantee you that. See armed men bust the door down here, you're going to get your ass blown off. But see, they know who to target. They're being told by the Democrats where to go. This is a test. Just like the attack on the military base in San Antonio by armed masked men last week. It's a probe. Welcome back to the Alex Jones Show, this live Thursday edition. I first want to play a little intro clip from 5 years ago during the presidential campaign before they stole the election from Trump, with John Stewart claiming nobody's invading from Latin America. And then we're going to show you newscast after newscast of multiple cities in Colorado literally being overtaken by Venezuelan gangs. Fox News, CBS News. And then I'm going to show you raw footage yesterday of them throwing more people out of a new apartment complex they just took over. And the police do zero. And now they're commandeering and trying to hijack school buses. That's like in the Dirty Harry movie written and directed by Millis, where the guy tries to hijack a school bus and Dirty Harry gets him. I mean, where's Dirty Harry here, man? I know this. If I lived in an apartment, people came with guns. It's not going to go well. What the hell? So here's that John Stewart piece. Years ago now happening.
I'm watching the midterms, man. You would think our country is Mad Max Thunderdome. This guy is like, they're coming from Guatemala, they're coming from Mexico.
This is 6 years ago.
There's a liberal mob that's coming.
Hey, you want a drop? You want a drop?
Oh, yeah. Yeah.
Mostly peaceful. They burned everything down in 2020.
Supporting the president. You ain't supporting
Muslims. And you would think everybody in the country is just like to the bunker.
And now this is footage from this year on the Texas border. Illegals overrunning the military. You think quick to the bunker. Trump shut the border down to almost nothing. Now it's triple what Obama did. 20 plus million to pour in, mainly military-aged men. And the invasions now, like ask Kirk Elliott, when does the economy start collapsing? Since it already is. Warren Buffett's dumped 55% of his Apple stock, $5 billion in Bank of America stock. I mean, it's going down, but they're not going to tell you it's going down. They're telling you everything's great or that Kamala's going to fix it. So, shock video, armed Venezuelan gangs occupy apartment complexes, unleash hell on residents. This happened yesterday when they took over a whole new apartment complex. The reports are at least 15 apartment complexes and hundreds of homes in Denver, Aurora, and other cities in Colorado have been taken over by tens of thousands of armed men. This is on the local news, kicking families out. And the police just let them take over, they collect rent and give it to themselves. That's the government. That's the Democrats. That's Pelosi saying MS-13, Trump shouldn't criticize them. Remember 6 years ago? They're all God's children. Let's start with Fox 31 out of Denver, Colorado. Here it is.
Now, many outgoing people, many of the residents that we talk to here simply say they have not had enough time to find more permanent housing, and they're really caught in the middle this morning.
I thought there would be some compassion, maybe a little bit of an extension to help these people find somewhere to go. They put some paperwork on our doors saying, if you find a place to go, we'll pay your deposit in first month's rent. I bet you $100 to a dollar, nobody has been put or placed or helped find somewhere to go.
Now, the building's management says that the problem stems from gangs that have pretty much overrun the entire building and taken control of the building. They say it's not the code violations that the city claims.
So the cities are administratively allowing this to happen. Now, that's a really run-down place. Now, nicer places are being overrun. We'll get to that in just a moment. But this is how it works. Oh, we're sending migrants there. Oh, they've got guns. Oh, they're collecting rent. Oh, we're going to let them have it now. See how that works? They've been invited in. The vampires have been invited in by Mayorkas. and by the NGOs. Here is Aurora and a report on Aurora.
A lot of the debate has been, is this the fault of the apartment management company, or is this the work of Venezuelan gangs? New information this morning, Aurora Police teaming up with the CBI and the Colorado State Patrol to better address concerns about the violent Venezuelan gangs. Investigators believe some members are from Venezuela, gangs responsible for this jewelry store heist we brought to you. This happened in Denver earlier in summer. All three agencies now creating a task force which will allow them to maximize resources and share intelligence about the ongoing investigations. Mayor Mike Kaufman saying, and they've been talking about it for a while now, one of their initial goals is to engage and learn from the migrant community.
Oh.
We're also aggressively, you know, having a presence in these pockets where there's concentrations of Venezuelan migrants to be able to try to ourselves.
These are social workers.
Law enforcement personnel at the local, state, and federal levels to identify who these bad actors are and get them off the street.
Kaufman also saying he can't share too much about what the task force is going to be doing. He didn't want to compromise the investigation. He believes allocating resources is necessary and wants people to know he and police are taking it seriously.
Oh, I bet you are. So that's how they're spinning it. Oh, they're just taking over apartment complexes. We don't know who's to blame. The police are studying it. They're going to learn and talk to the migrant community. Well, let's show you surveillance footage from 2 days ago. The full video's up on Infowars.com. We'll play with audio in a moment. Shock videos, there's a whole bunch of them. Armed Venezuelan gangs occupy apartment complexes, unleash hell on residents, and throw them out at gunpoint if they don't pay them. These are terrorists hijacking these buildings, holding people hostage, and the police are going to talk to them. No. You go in there, you bullhorn them, you say, come out with your hands up. They don't come out with their hands up. You storm the building and you kill them, and then it stops because they learn, like Bukele has done in El Salvador. You kill the armed terrorist. You kill them. Kill them. Kill, 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 kill. Millions of these people are here. They've been given a green light. You're an illegal alien waving a gun around. You've taken over a building. You come out your hands up or you die. This is already completely out of control. I don't even need to go rent the Road Warrior to now see it. I can drive around here and it's a freaking freak show. And we're not even as bad as Colorado or Illinois or California. But Houston is. Go ahead and roll it with audio. For radio listeners, armed men with assault rifles banging on doors and then going into people's houses and then demanding money and throwing them out if they don't pay. And then you've got, obviously, this guy's obviously the building manager under Stockholm Syndrome, working with him. That's what he looks like. And that's the culture down there. That's how Venezuela works now. They've ruined their country, now they're coming here. Guys, go to X and type in, Venezuelan migrant says he's coming to America to take people's homes. And there's a whole bunch of these videos. You've seen them, we played them. The psycho-looking dudes like, I'm coming to your country, and I'm going to get your house. And if you don't give it to me, I'm going to kill you. Look at all my money. I'm now in the American hotel. Tomorrow I take your houses. What in the world is this? Unbelievable. And the headlines are, Kamala's border failure strikes again. It's not a failure. They did it on purpose. New terrifying video shows armed Venezuelan migrant gangsters taking over another apartment complex in Aurora, Colorado. You have the B-roll of the 7-Eleven being ransacked last night. No arrests were made. That's why this keeps happening. Thank you, George Soros, the Democratic Party. Breaking, a 7-Eleven station in Los Angeles has been taken over and looted by a large mob following a possible street takeover in San Pedro. No arrests were made and no descriptions of possible suspects were given, although it does appear to be a large amount of migrants. Then I've got footage of the invasions and looting going on in England and in France and in Ireland. We'll get to some of those videos, and the Pope saying we must take them in. It's wonderful. We must put the snake to our breasts. Oh, you beautiful little snake. Yeah, here's one of the Venezuelans. But first, let's roll this 7-Eleven being ransacked and looted last night. Let's roll that with audio.
Rico!
After they're done ransacking the areas that they're being housed in, they're coming to your neighborhood, and when you defend yourself like the McCluskeys, you're going to jail. When you defend yourself, you're going to prison. Because the Soros prosecutors and people like Kamala Harris that bails them out are protecting them. Now let's go ahead and go to Pope Francis. Those who work systematically to reject migrants, and when done consciously, it is a grave sin. The Lord is with the migrants, not those that push them back. This from this communist New World Order pedophile protecting pig that they call the Pope. I'm not attacking Catholics, but I mean it was some giant Protestant leader with a billion plus followers, and he was doing this. I'd say he was the devil. I mean, this guy's a globalist New World Order all the way. He's banning the Latin Mass. He's doing all this other terrible stuff, targeting and firing faithful, good bishops and cardinals and leaders, and then having his other cardinals go up at the DNC when they're aborting babies, you know, right there in the complex, praying about God. I mean, it's just blasphemy. And then let's put up, while he speaks, guys, just go to images. Just type in Vatican walls, the walls of the Vatican, biggest in the world. Some are over 150, 60, 70 feet tall. I forget the exact height. I mean, they just go up and up and up 10 stories. Just so massive you can't even believe it. And they don't take one person inside there. They got tons of security, but you don't get the security. Tourism's down 60% in Italy, 80%+ in France. It's an open crap hole. Here is Pope Francis.
Dirlo con chiarezza. C'è chi opera sistematicamente e con ogni mezzo per respingere i migranti.
Hit pause. I'm going to read it. We must say it. Yeah, put it back on screen. We must say it clearly. There are those who work systematically and with every means to reject migrants, and this, when done with conscience and responsibility, is a grave sin. Continue.
Per respingere i migranti. E questo, quanto è fatto con coscienza e responsabilità, è un peccato grave. Il Signore è...
All right, folks, so it goes on there. The Lord is with our migrants. Go back to it, please. NRC, the Lord is with them, not with those who push them back. Continue.
Con i nostri migranti nel mare nostro. Il Signore è con loro.
Hey, pause. I want to show TV viewers this. Okay, look, there's two walls, okay? So look at this building right here. It's 8 stories tall. So that's an 8-story tall apartment building, and the wall is taller than it. That's the outer wall. Then look at this wall. It's way taller and has giant castle parapets around it and is at least 12 stories tall. And the castle turrets look like about 14 stories tall. 14-story tall. Gosh, look at this wall over here. It's even bigger. And the whole thing, I mean, look at the wall back in the distance. And, of course, the actual Vatican main building is giant. Look at that wall. It's a third as tall as it. I mean, That is incredible. So nobody's let in there. I mean, look at those walls. And I've been there. That's not even the big ones. That's the outer wall. The inner wall is at least 12 stories tall. That one is 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6 stories tall. Yeah, that's the outer wall. So, yeah, type in inner wall of the Vatican. Okay, I mean, I can rant about this all day long, but, and the full quote of the Pope is up on Infowars.com, also posted on X. You can watch the whole thing. It's in Italian. Maybe he's in Latin. I don't know what the hell he's speaking, but the point is that it's all Romantic languages. He says, you cannot militarize your borders. You cannot have walls. I mean, this is crazy. And no one says, hey, punk. Hey, scumbag. You're behind the biggest walls in the world with armed troops, the Swiss Guard. All right. I just want to say this, that I still see headlines everywhere. I mean, I read a few earlier. Oh, Kamala Harris has failed at the border. Oh, the Democrats are ruining the economy. Oh, a 75% capital gains tax will cause a depression. They're idiots. They're not idiots. Cutting off the pipelines, cutting off the fertilizer, cutting off the food, opening the borders, devaluing the dollar, flooding us with fentanyl, pedophile drag queen story time, inducting children secretly into the transgender cult in the public schools. This is a designed, weaponized attack. And I love everybody. But anytime my guests start with this, boy, the idiotic policies, they are not idiotic policies. When Genghis Khan rode over his enemies and burned down their cities, he wasn't doing an idiotic policy. He was doing scorched earth. When Hitler, at the start of World War II, was carpet bombing Warsaw and killing hundreds of thousands of men, women, and children with his air force and artillery, he wasn't that it was an accident. It wasn't that he didn't know what he was doing. This is done by design. 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 I mean, look at this headline right here. And I'm not trying to put people down. This has to stop. Because I looked at over 150 articles today, probably read 30 or 40 of them entirely, and I saw this probably 30 times today. Crap like this. This is out of Red State. Zuckerberg letter confirms government engaging in big tech censorship. I was in congressional hearings where they were attacking me, but I couldn't speak. 4 or 5 years ago, remember we were there many times. And they would have the senators and congressmen going, is it true Google tracks location? And the head of Google would say, Sundar Pichai, no. Well, technically, the app does. See, it's like, are chemtrails real? No, but geoengineering is. You have to use the right name. Got to have the little code word. And so there's all these articles about, oh, we didn't know big tech was censoring in the election and election meddling and blocking COVID and truth until Zuckerberg told us so. Because the government officials get up and lie to Congress, and we just always stay at the first stage. They're on record. We have the emails. We have the documents. We have their ass. But instead, oh, gee, we just learned that they're censoring us and the government's doing it illegally. Duh, gee, And then another month, there'll be another, you know, Breitbart headline. Oh, turns out the government was censoring. What? I was watching congressional hearings about me 6 years ago. They're like, at lunch, we noticed an InfoWars article was number one on Twitter. The congressman says to the head technician, head engineer at Twitter, he goes, sir, we saw it at lunch as well. AI goes in next month, he'll be stopped. But it's been taken down. The government does it on TV in Congress. We want him silenced. They get up at press conferences. Our goal is to shut down Jones. And I got to sit here 7, 8 years later and go, 6 years later and go, oh, my goodness, they're censoring us with the government. It's illegal. It's like you play a board game, Candyland, and you roll the dice and you never move the piece forward. You just go backwards and forwards in the same piece. One step forward, one step back. Finally, people are like, hey, they're poisoning us on purpose. Oh, think so? Oh, wow, they put the fluoride in there to dumb us down on purpose. Think so? You know, there's a question. Let me draw a graph here, a real simple, primitive one. You know, let's say here's a graph going from 100 IQ on average to 70 that's mentally retarded, okay? And so let's say after 60, 70 years of fluoride now, IQs have actually dropped on average to about, it's about 85. So we're on the slide to retarded, okay? And let's say once we get to about, you know, 80 or 75 or so, that we're so stupid, the fluoride's done its work, that even though the knowledge of fluoride poisoning us and giving us infertility is going up, it doesn't matter because we're so stupid. I mean, maybe that's their plan. Poison us, dumb us down so bad that we're so wrecked that that's the end of it. So you would have had 150 IQ, now you got 115 IQ. You were going to have 100 IQ because of genetics, now it's an 80. You were going to have an 80 because you're kind of stupid and, you know, got, you know, dumb genes. And so now you're a 65. You're a drooling moron. And these people get off on being stupid. It's like it's their wonderland. Like, oh, I don't need to know about politics in the world. I just choose what I want to believe. All right, I'm going to stop now. Got a bunch of stuff coming up. I want to get into the war on speech. It's gone into hyperdrive and them trying to arrest Musk and everything else. Dr. David Martin always has the most bombshell info. As for going viral, he's the most viral COVID guest you can get. And he's dead on, pun intended. Tommy Robinson is going to be joining us coming up with updates on all the attacks. And they are officially trying to arrest him now for his speech. And the Europe invasion, the UK invasion. Got a bunch of that footage and breaking stuff. Keep that on the front burner. That's coming up for the first 30 minutes of the next hour. I'm going to break, but I'm going to say this again. Nobody but Trump and Tucker Carlson is fighting the globalists harder than we are. Just a fact. And I'm under total attack because of it. And I want to win and I want to beat them. But I can't do it without you praying for the broadcast, spreading the word about the links and articles, and for heaven's sakes, supporting us. Support yourself. Get in the fight. We have great products that you already need that are amazing. I mean, you need Nitric Boost for your stamina, your libido, your energy, not even for the health effects of cleaning out your blood and your cardiovascular system from InfoWars MD at InfoWarsStore.com. You need the InfoWars MD for clarity and focus and relaxation. It's so good for anti-inflammatory. The CBD gummies, they don't get you high, but they totally relax you. And are so good for your whole body and your heart and everything. And the 1,000-milligram tinctures, the highest quality, best you're going to get. The folks we private label it from, one of the top companies, they sell it for double the amount we do. I mean, most folks pay $120 for this. We're selling it for half of that. People that know about these tinctures are like, whoa, this is really great. InfoWars MD, InfoWarsStore.com, or 888-253-3139. We're selling out of Vitamin Mineral Fusion. We're selling out of the 1,000-milligram organic vitamin C with rose hips and zinc. That's so amazing. Linus Pauling style formula. It's all available at InfoWarsStore.com or 888-253-3139. And we have the best stainless steel gravity filter out there that cuts thousands of bad things down to non-detectable levels. With all this stuff in the water, you're insane if you're not putting your water through this. People do distilled. That's bad long-term because it actually takes the vitamins and minerals out of your body. You can do it a little bit to detox, but not more than a week. This leaves the good minerals in. Best filter at the lowest price you're going to get, the Alexa Pure. InfoWarsStore.com. And my dad's great company right here in Central Texas, all the NanoSilver products, the great organic toothpaste fluoride-free with the NanoSilver and with the iodine and the other essential oils, the Next Level Foundational Energy that's not a stimulant but has that effect with no letdown. It's game-changing Next Level Foundational Energy, Shroom Force for mental clarity and immune system, Silver Bullet Colloidal Silver, 30 parts per million, the best, highest quality. Kaba Chill doesn't, again, get you down. It isn't a depressant, but it gives you this weird, clear focus. It's like a stimulant, but it's not. Shroom Force, Kaba Chill, drjonesnaturals.com. Write it down. Go there. Take action. It takes funds to win wars, plus their great products. drjonesnaturals.com. drjonesnaturals.com. Thank you for your support. Take action now. Hour number two, straight ahead. They have arrested and charged the head of Telegram, bigger than X worldwide. Now they're talking about arresting Elon Musk, saying they charge him with obstruction of justice in Brazil. The EU is talking about it as well. You see where this is going. They're trying to put Trump in jail and tried to kill him. Tommy Robinson is a great patriot, filmmaker, father, journalist, activist, done nothing wrong. He had over 100,000 peaceful people there in the UK, and then a individual stabbed a bunch of kids and killed them. A few people got mad. The Muslims rioted, and now they are have charged him with terrorism, and they are trying to put him in jail. If he returns to the UK, he's in an undisclosed location. Tommy Robinson is our guest. A few stations don't carry this part, so we're going to go to break in a few minutes. But, Tommy, give us an update on what they're doing to you, because we're all Tommy Robinson.
Alex, I had previous to yesterday, I had 8 charges to do with contempt of court. That's a prison sentence of 2 years. But yesterday they stuck another 6 charges on me, separate, so it's another 2 years. And all of these charges relate to a film which is 100% factual. That's it. They relate to the fact that I've showed the public the evidence, which is what they wanted to prevent doing. The entire story, the film is pinned in my Twitter, on my main tweet, at T. Robinson New Era, and that's what I'm going to go jail for. So, and they've also, I've got to answer bail on the 25th of October on terrorism-related charges, because, Alex, the day after holding 100,000 people for a totally peaceful celebration of British identity and to send a message to the establishment that the British public now have a voice, we're awake, we know what you're doing, and we're not going to remain silent anymore, we're not going to allow you to replace us and instill fear in us from speaking out. We have that event. The next morning, I was detained at the border on terrorism legislation. And the legislation they used prevents you from having a right to remain silent. So for 6 hours, they quizzed me. And if I would have remained silent and not answered their questions, I would have breached terrorism legislation and been prosecuted. Now, the questions they were asking me were all about my lawful, legitimate cultural movement that we were creating. They don't want us to have a cultural movement. They don't want any resistance. One of the questions they asked me was, how do you think you're going to stop the Great Replacement? This is counterterrorism officers. During that 6-hour grilling, they also had seized my phone, and then I had to give them the password or I'm in breach of the law. I refused to give them the password. So then I was taken to the police station to be charged. And I've been bailed till the 25th of October for breaching terrorism legislation. So I've got that charge. I now have multiple cases. The problem for me, Alex, every prison, my last sentence was entirely solitary confinement. Now, 3 months, 6 months, I've done 22 weeks was the most I've done in one hit of that. But now I'll be facing a 4-year prison sentence of either solitary confinement or being killed by jihadist gangs. So I don't know what they're going to walk me into. The fact it's 2024, I'm a journalist who created a factual documentary and I faced 4 years in prison and do we have a corrupt media? That film is on 47 million views. It's the most watched film to come out of Great Britain and not one single journalist in the UK has reported on what we exposed. We exposed total corruption. The council were paying people not to tell the truth. Then they took me through the courts and the council, through taxpayers' money, paid all the witnesses not to be able to speak. And then I exposed it with covert recordings. I proved it. I proved their entire story was manufactured. The scary thing is, Alex, I exposed this. I knew what they're going to do to me. But people have to see the truth. They have to see the truth because they use the same against you, Alex. They give you £1 billion. It was about shutting you down and silencing you. The weaponization of the judiciary is going on across the West. It's gone to Donald Trump, to Geert Wilders, to anyone, Marine Le Pen, anyone who has raised their voices, Katie Hopkins, against the establishment, mass open border immigration. They put a target on you and they use the court system to finish you, to bankrupt you or to imprison you. So I currently face a 4-year prison sentence. I am out of the country, but what I'm doing currently, Alex, I'm working on another documentary that I'm going to get out before my prison date, which is going to expose the manufactured riots. The riots that you saw, we're going to show the public the truth. We've had...
Tommy, stay there. Start over. Start over with that. When we got to join some stations here. This is so important. And I'm going to tell you my advice on air when we come back in 60 seconds. Tommy Robinson, see the film on his X account. 47 million views. All right. We have a real live hero, Tommy Robinson. I've known Tommy since he showed up 12, 15. I've been interviewing about 14 years. He's been public, I guess it's 15 if memory serves. He's the guy that can correct me. He's Tommy Robinson. But he lived in a town that was full of Pakistani Muslims and others. They were literally trying to recruit people in his family, small children for sex. He owned a tanning salon right next to them. He started exposing them and speaking out. He formed the English Defense League. That's not even been around for a decade. They were very peaceful. They were not racist. They were just against Islamification and the takeover. And he's been arrested many times. He spent years in jail, almost a year in solitary confinement. He lost so much weight. He looked like a concentration camp victim. And now they have charged him with terrorism for his 100,000-person-plus peaceful rally. They are blaming him for the illegal or the foreigners' parents came in who stabbed three girls to death and a bunch of other people. That's why we had some people protest and get a little out of hand at some of the illegal alien centers. They then openly blamed Tommy and framed him and said they were going to charge him. And the prime minister came out and named him. And now Tommy has wisely stayed out of the country. They've now upped the charges in the last 24 hours against him. And I am telling him, do not, he is an icon. He can do 1,000 times more good doing his show, speaking out from afar, analyzing what's going on. They can pipe him in via Zoom or Skype to rallies on Jumbotrons. The number one, this is not a courage issue. It's like when I said Elon Musk must not fly to the EU. He must not fly to Brazil. Both systems, tyrannical systems, are saying they're going to arrest him. They've arrested the head of Telegram, charged him with maybe allowing criminal activity on his giant platform that's bigger than X worldwide. So this is real tyranny by the globalists. They're already starting World War III. People need to support Tommy. And I'm just, because you hear him, he's saying, you know, it sounds like he's going to go back to England and face these fraudulent charges. He already made a film, seen 47 million times. Let's put it back on screen. It's on his X account, documenting the fraud of one of the legal cases against him. Now they paid people off, and now it's a total scam. Truthontrial.co.uk, Britain's most banned documentary, silenced. The biggest film out of the UK in years. And they are, no one's covering it. They want him in jail for exposing their criminal activity. So we're going to talk about his case some more, the latest on what's happened. Then I want to talk about big picture, the invasion of Europe, the invasion of England, Ireland, Scotland, the first minister saying white people are bad, now being kicked out. What's happening here? The Venezuelan gangs robbing, murdering, and being allowed to take over apartment complexes with machine guns. The police do nothing. This is all part of replacement migration and a larger plan. But you were giving me a website, a URL, helptommy.com. Folks, you need to help Tommy Robinson. And I was talking to him off air about places he can go. We're not going to say what he's thinking, but I didn't think of the genius idea that he had. But he, as these terrorism charges go into the Interpol system worldwide, he's got to get to a safe haven, and he's got to get there quick. He is a prize they want to torture to death in prison. Tommy, you were telling me you're going to go face the charges. You didn't say it was off record, but I'm going to tell you something, and I love you. You're a badass. But if you go back and you let them put you in prison, if I ever see you in person, I'm going to punch you in the nose. Do not. You might kick my ass, but I'm going to try to beat you hear me? And I guarantee you, your supporters are the same. Is anybody telling you of your supporters to go back and go into the lion's den? It's one thing to have courage. We get it. But in the war, you don't put yourself out for the military, your enemy military, to destroy you. Do not go back to the UK. Get to a safe haven now, Tommy. Go ahead.
Alex, I see it differently. I see the fact that them taking me through the court system, I see it that I'm putting them on trial. Secretly, the Conservative government for the last decade have weaponized and used lawfare against me. We've had a Conservative government. We now have Labour. They are exactly the same. Don't think what you're witnessing in the last 2 weeks is anything new. You're just seeing it now. We now have social media. We have X. And my film has exposed it. The problem is that the court and the weapon that they use across the West, it's far bigger than Tommy Robinson. Now, if I go to trial, we now know 47 million. By the time they get me into jail, it'll be 60, 70, hopefully 100 million. If Elon Musk shared this film, it would be 100 or 150 million. Now, that is at the minute, 47 million people know that all I done as a journalist was report the truth. If they want to lock me up for that, which they will, they're putting a nail in their own coffin. We need the judiciary to fall. We need the weaponization and the politicization to be mainstream. We need that. People still talk to me like they look at my Wikipedia and say, you've got all these convictions. Never by a jury. I've never been tried by a jury ever. Give me 12 members of the British public, they will find me not guilty. It's a system that's used to destroy people's lives. And you hear about it from me. You hear about it from you, Alex, but every whistleblower in every institution that tries to speak out faces what I'm facing now. I believe I have an opportunity with the world's eyes on Great Britain currently to put a nail in their coffin. It may end up being a nail in my coffin as well. But maybe that will be the moment that sparks a revolution in Great Britain. I truthfully believe that. If they think they've seen trouble now, put me in jail and let the Muslims All get right. to me. You will inspire and cause the uprising that's needed. The problem is, Alex, so currently all I ever think of is how do I punch back? Over the last 2 or 3 weeks, the weaponized media, the corrupt media, have lied to the public about the riots. That we've seen the weaponization of a court system. People are arrested on a Saturday, they televised it, they put them in court on the Monday, they're in prison and gone for 3 years by the Tuesday. That's unheard of. They didn't commit any crimes, Alex. What we've done as an organization, Urban Scoop, the company I work for, we've sent journalists out this week to interview the families. Do you know what they've done? And we're going to tell the stories. We're going to show you who they've sent to prison and what for. Speech is on trial. The British public, what this is, Alex, this is our January 6th. On January 6th in the United States, they orchestrated that so they could put the fear of God into the American public from ever taking to the streets in mass numbers again. I look every time there's calls for a demonstration, people believe it's a setup. People don't want to come out. Right now in Great Britain, people don't know what they can say on social media. They're now self-censoring already. People have been in prison. One gentleman said Islam is evil. He's currently in prison. A granddad who's worked for 49 years and just retired and looks after his wife said, Allah, Allah, who the is Allah? He got 18 months in prison. One gentleman we spoke to his mum yesterday and his girlfriend. He has a newborn baby. He committed no crime. His allegation, what they've sent him to jail for 3 years, 2 months, was shouting whose streets are streets whilst waving an England flag. They pressurised and they pushed all of these men to plead guilty within 24 hours. But what they said to him is the police sat him down. They showed him his wife at the demonstration and said, if you don't hold your hands up, we're going to get her. And he's got a newborn baby. So men, what you're seeing is lots of men pleading guilty to crimes they haven't committed. They have rushed it. There's been no due process. There's been no time for legal meetings. They've thrown them in jail. And now they're in jail. They've been fed and handed to Muslim gangs. They've been violently attacked. They've been beaten because Keir Starmer, and we hear about misinformation, Alex. They make the accusations against you. They make the accusations against me. I'm going to prove to the entire world with my next documentary that they are guilty of misinformation. They lied continuously. They said the English Defence League were behind the riots. There hasn't been an English Defence League. It ended for a decade. It's not an organisation. There is no group. But what they've done, Alex, is they managed to paint a brush of far right and racist over all the protesters. What they don't tell
sure,
you...
Sure, but I mean, let me stop you real quick. Do you believe you're going to get a jury trial? Because I know it's all administrative, but they still throw you in jail. England's one of the greatest tyrannies on earth. They've been good at trying to hide it. Keir Starmer famously protected Jimmy Savile, the most famous pedophile in UK history. He is when he was a judge, he's a monster. Looking in all of this, or when he was a barrister, looking in all of this, and I was not being serious earlier, but I love you. I care about you. You're doing so much good outside of jail. You're very Christ-like. Mandela was a communist, but it made him more famous going to jail for decades. Tommy, they already tried to kill you in prison. I mean, I know all the things that happened to you, them trying to stab you and the Muslims cramming all their feces under your cell and solitary confinement and you almost starving to death. I mean, we really don't want you to be in there, brother.
No, mate, trust me, I don't want to go there, yeah? And you said, I 100% am not allowed a jury. I can get 4 years in jail without a jury. Do you know the message? I just done an interview yesterday and it goes out this week. I had a message for all the English, all the British political prisoners. The same with your American ones from January 6th. Men rotted away. They were forgotten. They were abused. Right now, we have British political prisoners. Their families need to understand, whilst they're missing their dads, they're missing their sons, they're missing their husbands, the role they're playing right now in prison is pivotal to the saviour of this nation. Wrongs will have to happen. People will have to get hurt. People will have to die. People will have to spend long times in prison. It's part of the process in awakening our country.
No, so I understand what you're doing. And you said, and I've played the clip of the judges saying, reading it. You said on social media that the Muslims are disproportionately raping people for their proportion of population. This is outrageous. 22 months in prison and a fine. I mean, they're actually, so you're saying for all the other political prisoners, you're willing to do this Christ-like thing. I admire you even more, my friend.
I just believe that through sacrifice will come success. And do you know how many men have sacrificed over the years? You hear about my story, Alex. Do you know how many men went to jail with the English Defence League? Do you know how many men lost their jobs? Do you know how many men are in jail rotting now for their speech, for criticising mass open border immigration? Our free speech is under attack. We don't have free speech. But the country needs to know that. We're working on a documentary now. Before I go to prison, it will be aired. Tens of millions will watch it. We will prove that we live under a totalitarian regime. And all of these, the media, the courts, all of it are weapons of the state for mass control. Basically, what they're using this last 2 weeks as is to send a message to the British public, shut up whilst we replace you. Legal protests. They're even stopping. And the comparison, which we're going to look at, every judge who sent someone to jail in the last 2 weeks for speech has freed paedophiles caught with videos of children being raped. They haven't gone to jail. It's totally political. It's to put fear into the British public. And if we allow them to, I think they could have ended people's willingness to protest, their willingness to speak out. What we need to do over the next 6 weeks is make sure the British public know it's your right to protest. They ain't taking these rights away without a fight. We can't allow it. We mustn't allow it. And right now, Alex, without X, we would be already lost this battle. We would already have lost. But right now, the world's eyes are on Great Britain. We're going to expose them. So each time I put out a video saying I'm working on a documentary, 2 days later, they hit me with the next lot of charges. So they're not happy. And I believe their intention is to imprison me for not even 4 years, probably decades. That's what they want. What car crime have I committed? Again, when I go to court, I'll ask the judge, have you watched the film? Why am I here? I haven't committed anything unlawful. Actually, they have. You're the liars. You're the fraud. You're corrupt. Not me. I've done my job. My job as a journalist is to expose corruption. That's my job, to give the British public the truth. And that's what I've done. And that's what people continue to do, Alex. But anyone who can support us, we want to, as I said, I've got a lot of legal problems that have come in from absolutely everywhere. First and foremost, I need to finish this next film. We're working on it. I've got a meeting straight after this.
Well, that's what I'm saying. If you're going to go turn yourselves into the devil, at least take your time. And people, and folks, if you don't back Trump, if you don't back me, if you don't back Tommy, we're the men on the front line, literally going up against pure evil because we feel it's the right thing to do. Tommy's even more hardcore, than I am. I mean, I'm not in his shoes. I don't know what the decision I would make at that point. I believe in the information war, and I would just remove myself to a position. But I've said I won't evacuate America, that I'd go down with a ship. So I guess I'm in the same boat as Tommy. I just know how horrible solitary confinement is, and because I've been in it a little bit when I was a teenager myself, and just a few weeks is pure torture, Tommy. But we salute you and we thank you. What is the best website for people to go and support?
HelpTommy.com. And that, as I said, even if I go to jail, our news channel will continue. I'll call this now. I guarantee you they're coming after Urban Scoop. Urban Scoop is the news channel and media channel where we create our documentaries. We have a fabulous team. We create some brilliant work. We've put two documentaries out in the last couple of months. They're both, one's on 8 million views, the other one's on 47 million views. We need to use the weapons that we have to expose them, and that is by proving to people that they lied. Proving to people that they manipulated the story. They said, Alex, go on ChatGTP. In fact, go on Grok. Go on any of them and ask if Tommy Robinson called for violence during the demonstrations, because the world's media said I did. I didn't. I never said the attacker in Southport was a Muslim or a refugee. I never said anything. And they've, in fact, all the videos I made called for calm, called for peace and non-violence. And they totally ignored all that. And with their misinformation and their lies, they pumped around the entire world.
What they do is they steal your identity and in your name say you said something.
That's it. And I didn't say anything. There's no evidence anywhere for it. But it doesn't matter because they've got the weapon of the media. They've told the entire world the only lucky chance I have or the battle we have is this platform here. For me, it's X. And it's important that people, any independent media, any podcast host, anyone needs support from the public. Get off Netflix, get off all these channels, get off Amazon and start supporting the independents. Start giving them a voice, the people who live stream. Get behind them. But again, they are trying to intimidate the entire country into silence. They arrested an 81-year-old gentleman, 81 years old, in the same week, and a 12-year-old. That 81-year-old man has been prosecuted. He's in court this week for his words, for getting angry. Do you know why the people are angry, Alex? We're going to show you in the documentary, because we're going to interview the father and the girl who was raped by one of these illegal immigrants who come out of the hotel. So in Tamworth, where the country say, where the judges are sentencing people to jail for shouting aggressively at the hotel, what they don't tell you, Mohammed left the hotel in Tamworth and raped an English woman. In Hartlepool, where they were rioting, what they don't tell you is one of the migrants left the hotel there and stabbed a British pensioner to death while shouting it's for Palestine. What they don't tell you is that across our country, from hotels, migrants at the Home Office have bought in and placed in our towns and cities are raping our mothers and daughters. That's the truth. Men are being sent to jail for saying our taxpayers' money is funding rapists to be put in hotels. It's a fact. It's 100% factual. I'm going to prove it to you in my film. The British public are not angry because of Tommy Robinson. They're angry because they know of stories like this.
And let me stop you. And let me stop you. 15 years ago, correct today, you were the first to expose the giant Muslim grooming gangs. And then how many times have they thrown you in prison?
Remember, Alex, before we exposed it, before that point, they'd conspired for 30 years to keep it a secret. They'd collapsed cases. They'd got rid of evidence. They'd destroyed the lives of whistleblowers. We made it with 10,000 young English men on the streets. We made it so they couldn't hide it anymore. When we were marching for every town and city up and down this country, shouting that our daughters are not allowed.
And by the way, let's talk about the numbers. Even the BBC, a decade after you exposed it, plus, has to admit, per town, thousands of young girls as young as 7 being kidnapped, raped, and sold into sex slavery. And in many cases, the police would not even return people's little girls.
So the numbers, Alex, I've done a 5-part documentary series called The Rape of Britain. Check it out on Rumble. Go to Urban Scoops, a news channel. You click on documentaries. We looked at Telford. The reason I looked at Telford has a 1.7% Muslim population. The police identified 1,000 victims. 5 of them have been murdered. 1,000 victims, 5 have been murdered. They identified 200 perpetrators from the Muslim community of Telford. We identified in our investigation 254. The independent inquiry identified over 300. Now, in Telford, there's only 3,500 Muslims. So get rid of the women, get rid of the under 16, there's 1,000 men. So out of those 1,000 men, the police identified 20% of them that were raping children. 20%. You've only had the figures for Telford and Rotherham. Rotherham, which is a scandal where there was 1,400 victims. There's only, and some have been murdered, there are only 3.7% of Rotherham is Muslim. Come to my hometown, 50%. 50%, you will never get the figures. Oldham is a town with a 35% Muslim population. When they put to the council for an independent inquiry to investigate these crimes, the Muslims voted against it. All the Labour councillors voted and blocked the investigation. You will never, once the infiltration gets to a point within your council that is Muslim dominated or they need the Muslim vote, you will never get the truth out about these crimes. And the Muslim demographics are increasing at an exponential rate across our country, which brings more problems, more violence, more hostility, more terrorism, more jihad, more rapes. That's the truth.
And how many Islamists just got into your parliament? I mean, they are taking over.
Well, 5 pro-Hamas, pro-jihadist independents got voted in. 5. Right now. But our entire election was focused around Gaza. So Muslims are pulling the shots and the discussion are on our entire election. The majority of the British public, the majority are against open border mass immigration. Since these riots, Keir Starmer has not mentioned it once. They've managed not to mention the crimes being committed by the migrants that have made people angry and upset. Their two-tier policing is why people are upset, and they've doubled down on it. They've doubled down against the British public, but they have done the job. They're awakening more people than we ever could. Keir Starmer has been the best advert for the mass awakening that we need. These things, if you're British public or you're American and you're concerned and worried, unfortunately, these things have to happen to wake up the masses. People need to understand, if the public were aware of the dire strait of our nation and the future of our children, there would be a revolution tomorrow. But they hide it. They control the media. They control what you think about who. They tell you how to think about Alex. They tell you how to think about me. I don't want you mistaking my passion now as anger. Well, I am angry. I'm an angry Englishman because I'm watching as my country's destroyed. I'm watching as the sacrifices our forefathers made to give us freedom of speech, to protect and give us those rights, are being obliterated. And the media are ignoring it, and they're silent, and they're part of it. Our rights are being taken. Good working British men are in jail for their speech, for daring to speak out. We live under total communism. The only thing is, most people don't realise it. What the world is now realising over the last 2 weeks is what I've known for a decade. So I'm quite happy, in a sense, that people can see it. People know these men haven't committed crimes and they're in prison. So don't trust any of the corrupt judges or the court systems that are imprisoning these men and giving them the most harshest sentence for their words. One man named the hotel. All he'd done was name the hotel. He's currently in prison for 2.5 years. He's got 3 children. He's got a wife at home. These are not criminals.
And by the way, Tommy, for listeners and viewers who just tuned in, a few weeks ago I showed it, a bunch of it. We have the judges reading out the sentences. You named the hotel. You said all streets and waved an incendiary flag. 2 years in prison. I'll come back for about 10 more minutes, and I want to ask you your advice about America, as you warned me 13, 14 years ago when you first started coming on, that they would do the same thing here. Now, giant Venezuelan gangs, MS-13 gangs, we need to do what Bukele has done.
They'll crack down on you. They'll crack down on the Americans. They'll let them do it. As you mobilize yourself, they'll crack down and crush you. That's what they've done in the last 2 weeks. They are crushing the British spirit. But they underestimate it. They totally underestimate it. In fact, I think they're helping it. So
hold on, stay there then. Tommy, helptommy.com, helptommy.com. Folks, if you don't stand with InfoWars, if you don't stand with Tommy and helptommy.com, if you don't stand with Trump, we're men that are willing to go all the way, but we need your backing. Tommy, stay there. I want to come back and show you what the Venezuelan gang's taking over all these buildings. The police are helping them, saying they don't know what's going on. I want to get your advice on this and talk about big picture, about how we get rid of Keir Starmer. They want to arrest Elon Musk. They have arrested the head of Telegram. Helptommy.com. Follow me on X Real Alex Jones and check out his film on Tommy Robbins and the New Era on X. Stay with us. This isn't a movie, it's not a drama, it's not a Netflix show. Tommy Robinson is a frickin' hero and the real deal. If I told you all the stuff he's been through, most of you probably know some of it. Antifa comes to his house, they try to attack him, they try to go after his parents. They just did it again 2 weeks ago. The Muslims just storm people's houses, the police do nothing. Antifa, you know, 10 of them attacking Tommy, and he beats, you know, 8 of them up before they get him on the ground. I mean, just epic stuff this guy has been through in the wars with the ongoing globalist invasion. So I wanted you to finish up. You were telling me that you're making 2 new films. They're demanding you come back and face terrorism charges for doing absolutely nothing, and that you're saying you got backup videos of when you do go back and if they kill you in jail. Talk about that. Then I want to show you some of the things happening here with the Venezuelan gangs all over the country and how they're being protected, as you predicted, and what you think we should do and what's coming next, Tommy.
So, of course, I'm preparing for every eventuality currently. So when I've been in jail before, they've let them get to me. I literally got battered, but they were putting me on the wing with 6 Muslims who were doing 30 years for planning to kill me. They were handing me to them. So I don't know what to expect when I get to whichever prison I go to. I've been in 10 prisons, Alex. I've had violent battles in many of them. I've been violently beaten. So I don't know what to expect. I don't know if I'm going to have to fight for my life. I don't know if I'm going to get set up. I don't know. But what I do know is if the police think for 1 second and the government believe that by putting me in jail and letting that happen, it's going to be the solution, it's not. I'm preparing for every eventuality. I will have videos ready to release in any eventuality, and I will haunt them. I guarantee that. And not just that, Alex, I truthfully believe that if I was put in the prison system currently, 47 million people know I told the truth. They will spark a revolution. And maybe that's what's needed. Maybe if I looked when 26 children were attacked at the Ariana Grande concert. That didn't change things. So who knows what the defining moment will be in Europe's history? Who knows what's going to change the corner and awaken the people to say enough is enough? But I can tell you, Alex, from my own experience, the public are awake now more than ever. When I walked down the street, I'd done an interview the other day with a gentleman called Richard Grannan. He flew to where I was in Europe. And he said, the most hated man. I said, you don't actually believe that, do you? I said, you know what? What are you doing tonight? Get your camera crew. Let's go for a walk where the British holidaymakers are. You'll see the footage. It comes out next week. I can't walk down the street. Normal British people, not far right, not racist, not hooligans. The British public have had enough. We were on the verge of a cultural revolution. 100,000 people on the streets is unheard of for a patriotic rally. It's the largest gathering of patriots Britain's ever seen. In our capital city. In our capital city. The next one would have been 250,000. And I'm sitting there. I have a meeting tonight. I don't know what's best to do. I don't know what best is the best decision to make. I know 1,000,000% I'm making a documentary to expose their lies. That's what I have to do. I don't know whether I may amass people on the street again. If I'm coming from when I come back, I don't know. We've got a meeting straight after this with all the people involved to make decisions on what's best. I currently don't know what's best. I know that we can't allow the British public to be scared from exercising their democratic rights of freedom of assembly and freedom of speech. We managed both those protests with zero violence. I believe we can do it again. I truthfully do. Alex, I flew to America in 2010. I spent 22 weeks on solitary confinement because in 2009 I was deported when I landed at JFK because the British told the Americans not to let me in. The next year I went illegally, okay? Hold my hands up. But I went there and I knew what I was doing. And my speech in New York, I got in, I was arrested in the UK and I spent 10 months in jail. My speech was called A Warning to America. A warning to America. I don't talk to you about things I'm reading. I'm born in Luton Town. It's got 45 mosques. It had one when I was born. I know what's coming. Do you know what's coming? You have no idea how the political parties, the Democrat Party, you know your six swing states that they stole in the last election? When there's enough of a Muslim community in those states, because of the way they operate, they will swing those seats. The Republicans and the Democrats will probably pander to them for whatever they want to guarantee that seat. That's what we're witnessing in the UK. They are so close-knit, they organise in a military fashion for voting, they are replacing our populations. I'm watching this now. Our borders are open. The problem is, they're allowed to commit crime. Every day, people are getting stabbed to death across the UK. Our politicians don't talk about it. Not in Hill Carnival. There was 10 sexual assaults, 3 guns recovered, I think 7 people stabbed, 50 police officers attacked and violently injured, and all the politicians and media said it was a brilliant, successful display of diversity against racism. When we gathered in 100,000 with a diverse crowd, because we're pro-patriot, because we're against mass immigration, we were labelled as far-right, racist, extremist, Nazis by the same media. Okay, it's an attack. We face total attack, and the demographics are changing so quick, so fast. With Joe Biden opening your borders, we need, and this is across the whole West, we are in danger. Our culture is eroding, it's disappearing, and every time we try and stand up for it, the weapons of the totalitarian state are there to crush us.
Let me ask you this. Why, whether it's France, Germany, Sweden, the UK, why do these mainly military-age men show up at the millions and then randomly stab babies, women with baby carriages, men with baby carriages? They climb ladders into people's houses and just start killing people. Every day I see dozens of videos without even looking. They stab police and the police try to cover it up and they kill an officer in this video. And then they covered up that it was a Muslim. What the hell's going on here?
Alex, with these attacks that happened in Southport, where a 17-year-old monster went in and butchered children to death, there's a reason the public don't trust or believe the government. And I'll ask you, any of you to do this who's watching this. I'll say this in every interview, just so you understand that they do lie. Put in on Google, Russell Square attack. It will bring up the name of the gentleman who was arrested for murder. He's a Muslim gentleman. He's in London. He goes to his local mosque in East London. And he tells his imam that he wants to kill non-Muslims. They don't ring the police. They pray for him. He then leaves the mosque. He doesn't randomly stab people in the Muslim area. No Muslims get stabbed. He travels to Russell Square, where the tourists are. He goes on a stabbing spree while shouting Allah Akbar. He murders an American citizen. An American tourist is stabbed to death while screaming Allah Akbar. These are all facts. If you Google this case, it wasn't registered as terrorism. It went down as mental health. They spoke about it for an hour. They didn't talk. They're talking about these riots for 2 weeks. Live videos of them kicking doors off. We've got 40,000 Muslims on a terror watch list. 2,000 British Muslims went to fight for ISIS. 800 of them have come home. They're walking around our country. Why are you not doing live videos of court cases for them? They're people who swore to enemy, to democracy, to freedom, to Christians, to non-Muslims. You're not arresting them. In fact, Alex, this is why we're so furious. When the Hamas demonstrations are going on in London, the leader of Hizb ut-Tahrir, a prescribed terrorist organisation, He stood on the Capitol at a demonstration that they organised, that his party organised, and he said, he said we need Muslim armies. And he said, jihad, jihad, jihad. They're locking people up for anything. Not, this man wasn't even arrested. You know, the Metropolitan Police put out a statement saying there's lots of different meanings for jihad. He was calling for a holy war. He was calling for Muslim armies. But the Met Police defended him. When the ISIS flag was flown, they said there's lots of... That doesn't necessarily mean ISIS. It's the black flag of war. It's the jihadist flag. So the police gaslight you. The government gaslight you. And then when, after 20 or 30 years of total betrayal by our government, hardworking men get angry because children are being butchered and murdered. In the same week as the children were butchered and murdered in Southport, a migrant who had been in our country 6 months, pulled up on a motorbike, waited outside an army barracks. He got off his bike when a soldier walked out and he butchered him. He stabbed him while the soldier's wife was trying to stop it. He didn't stab anyone that wasn't in uniform. Do you know what they told the public? It didn't even make top news. It wasn't even on the front news panels when it happened.
Tommy, I saw a story last week in the UK where a Muslim man stabbed a bunch of people, and the news said it was a white Englishman, and then the police were trying to suppress when they arrest him. He's a Muslim.
We know, Alex, if there's a rape or there's a robbery or there's a stabbing and they do not give a description, that means it's a Muslim or it's not, or it's a migrant. That's what it means. Now, I've done my documentary called Plantation 2, Rise of the Celts, which is about the migrant crisis in Ireland. We looked into what the United Nations are putting out to journalists. They're telling journalists if a refugee commits a crime, they are not allowed or they will be imprisoned to identify him as a refugee. They're making it protected from journalists identifying refugees. So they can go rape. The journalists aren't allowed to tell you he's a refugee. That's what they're implementing. This is about total control. What it's about is flooding this nation with hostile, violent men. And before you know it, it's too late. Your towns are full. They are a different breed. They the level of violence that they're used to, their way of thinking.
And by the way, this is footage from 2 nights ago. All over Ireland, the dead of night, they're bringing in thousands a day of Muslim men.
Thousands. Alex, the Irish fought a 100-year war for independence. They've kicked the British out and they've allowed everyone else in. And Sinn Féin are traitors to the nation. They're Marxists. They are flooding the country. They're flooding it. Irish women are being targeted. Kids are being murdered. School teachers going for jobs are being raped and butchered. That's Ireland. And you know what, Alex? It's happened in 3 or 4 years. They are accelerating it. The British public voted for Brexit and they accelerated immigration. 1.2 million people in 1 year. They're ignoring us. They don't care what we say. The whole facade of democracy is a total facade. We need a cultural revolution. We're not voting our way out of this. We are not voting our way out of this, which is what we're in the process of doing, which is why over the last 3 or 4 weeks, after us mobilising influencers together, creating 100,000 people on the streets, is why they have come for me from every angle.
That's right. That's Tommy, why. I know you got to go, but last question, because I want to get into this. They've arrested the head of Telegram. It's bigger than X worldwide. They want to arrest Elon Musk. After you leave, I'm going to cover this. They've announced that they're preparing to charge Elon Musk with obstruction of justice. They're ordering him to turn his company back on, come into their jurisdiction, so they have legal precedent to do it. That's like an ant asking an eagle to land so it can sting them. I mean, the system's getting really desperate. Final comments on Elon Musk. I mean, because people, oh, he's not perfect. What do you mean? Normally you would be not able to reach a million people. You're reaching hundreds of millions a week right now on X. We are too at Real Alex Jones. This is beautiful. Can you speak to the fact that they're coming after Musk next?
If I could speak to Elon Musk, Elon, I currently face 2 years in prison for releasing the documentary on your platform. I face 2 years. That's one of the charges is because I put a film that's on 47 million views on this platform. My legal bill, Alex, this is where they win, is £130,000. So to fight this, it costs £130,000. That is the lawfare. I believe Elon Musk is the most important man for it, not even Donald Trump, because if Donald Trump gets elected, it's Elon Musk is given a platform for freedom of speech. That's what he's given. Without freedom of speech, we've already lost. So in America, you've got the Constitution, but they control Facebook. They control YouTube. They control it all. They control the narrative and they control what you think. So I believe Elon Musk will be remembered in history, not for sending things to space, not for Tesla, not for being a billionaire, but for saving freedom of speech. If we save freedom of speech, we can save the West. We can save our future. I'm incredibly grateful that at least no matter what happens to me, you're going to know, the public are going to hear, it's going to awaken people. I would be seriously worried about his life if I was Elon Musk. They made the attempt on Donald Trump. They messed it up massively. Divine intervention, whatever you want to call it. Elon Musk is in their way. He's in their way of total control of globalist, total control of speech, of everything. I'm grateful for him. The British public are grateful that you've given us a voice, but they're coming for all of us. So please allow our films to continue. Elon, if you could share my documentary, it may be the difference in embarrassing the government from preventing them from giving me 4 years or not. But no matter what, death, prison or glory, as we've always said, we're not going to submit. No matter what, we're not going to submit.
Tommy,
we're not taking our freedom.
Tommy, you're an incredible fighter. Let's stay in touch. I'm going to get a hold of Tucker, who I know has supported you. You were the first interview when you got out of prison with him. And so I'm going to let Tucker know, and try to get you directly on the radar. And I think that's obviously something he's probably going to do. The issue is you can't come to the U.S., so we'll see if he can come to you. We'll see if I can come to you. Tommy, we'll stay in contact. Anything's going on, you need anything, please call me. And God bless you, my friend.
Thank you, Alex. Good night. See you. Cheers. Bye-bye.
We love you, brother. Wow. That is so real. And I'm serious. He wants to sacrifice himself and be put in solitary confinement for at least 4 years for doing nothing. And he thinks that will hurt them worse, the globalist. And maybe it will, but when he was in jail overall for over 3+ years, in different stints, I think it's about 4 actually, but once over a year in solitary confinement, you didn't really hear about Tommy. Right now, he's on X, he's on Telegram, he's on Telegram, he's on all these Rumble, reaching tens of millions a day, and there's no reason to put a top general who's already been through 15 years of war and worked his way up into the front lines. The generals in the modern war are in bunkers, and they move around, and that's what you do. Now, I go out and do rallies and things, too, and put myself in harm's way, but if you know you're walking into a tyranny, I mean, it'd be like if you were a North Korean dissident. Why would you go back and face fake charges in North Korea? So right now, I am just absolutely dumbfounded by all of this. We know it's a criminal takeover. We know what it's all about. And I asked Kirk Elliott yesterday, economist, really smart guy. I said, when does the collapse accelerate? When? He goes, we're already here. And I thought about what he said. It's really true with all the real numbers. We're already here. Most people living through something tyrannical in history don't realize it until it's already happened. And, my biggest job here is trying to get people to understand that. We are not in a normal situation right now. They already tried to kill Trump. They're going to try again. They're going to engage in massive election fraud. They tried with vigilantes in the federal court. The judge blocked him when he found out about it, couldn't believe it, and fired them all. The U.S. trustee and the CRO, that's federally appointed. The U.S. trustee was under the Justice Department. And they just came here with no warrant, no order, and said, we're closing you 8 weeks ago. And I said, no, you're not. I'm calling the police. And I had to sleep here off and on for a week. And they tried again. And the crew's like, oh, no, they're not going to really try again. They tried again to order the private security firm I've had for like 7-8 years to do it. And they didn't follow the order. They threatened to fire them. I said, I'll see you in court. But this is just so hardcore. And it's not about me being persecuted. It's the vigilanteism of the left. That's what they do when they steal elections. That's what they do when they persecute and prosecute people that are innocent. Is that they're just a bunch of mad dogs. And they've been ordered, shut these shows down ahead of what they're about to do. But because of the mothership, X, they've got an even bigger problem because they're trying to get Telegram, they're trying to get Rumble, they're trying to get X, they're trying to get InfoWars, they're trying to get Tucker. Rogan's getting more hardcore. Russell Brand's gotten hardcore. All these NFL players are getting hardcore. All these rappers. And that's what the public listens to. A lot of the public doesn't listen to hardcore news. They just think that's some weird responsibility, or it's like, oh, I don't want to worry about that. Well, you better worry about it. It's like, you don't believe in the devil? Well, he believes in you. You don't believe in God? God believes in you. I believe in you. This is a real world, folks. This is real. This is not entertainment. This isn't, again, a Netflix show. This isn't Gunsmoke. This isn't Star Wars. This isn't Teletubbies. This isn't true crime. It's in the Netflix comedy special. This baby is the real world, the real deal. With 35 million dead from the poison shots. Dr. David Martin coming up. Now, I bring on a lot of other talk show hosts and patrons and you support them. I know I come to you a lot for support. And if I was like Limbaugh, who's a great guy, but he would only talk about him and his sponsors when he was doing, and he said openly because he wanted all the money. I just need money to operate. And I'm asking you to continue to commission us in the fight against the globalists, and I make it easy with amazing products that enrich your life at drjonesnaturals.com, drjonesnaturals.com, just drjonesnaturals.com, and infowarsstore.com. And at infowarsstore.com, there's amazing supplements, books, films, the highest quality water filtration, lowest prices, storable food, highest quality for a low price, ready to ship. Infowarsstore.com. Get a Trump assassination shirt that says bulletproof, fight, fight, fight. Get some of the great products like Vitamin Mineral Fusion or the great CBD gummies or 1,000-milligram tincture that's so great, so good for your body and your inflammation and your joints and your brain with InfoWars MD line. At InfoWarsStore.com, get the Vitamin Mineral Fusion that's selling out. Get the 1,000-milligram vitamin C with rose hips and zinc that's so good for your whole body and immune system. Get it all. Get the good night's sleep. Get the Nerve Renew. Get the ashwagandha. It's all there. InfoWarsStore.com or call toll-free to InfoWars, 888-253-3139, 888-253-3139. The Turmeric 95 is amazing. It's just like Body's, basically the same formula, same 95% curcuminoid. Bodies is back in stock. It's excellent as well. It's the same turmeric, but different side formulas where the things are known to boost your immune system, kills inflammation, goes after carcinogens. It's just amazing. It's all at InfoWarsStore.com. And then Dr. Jones Naturals has, and it's running out. He's got to reorder, but he's got to get the money to do that because all the legal battles my dad's been in defending me and them going after him. All the nano silver toothpaste with the tea tree and the iodine and the nano silver, super blue and the turmeric toothpaste with no additives and no fluoride. That's so amazing. And the activated charcoal toothpaste, the immune gargle, and the topical nano silver wound gel, and the fiber greens, the concentrates of all these key sprouts. It's so good for your whole body and your intestines and your guts. And the super high quality organic derived whole food multivitamin and the immune support. And of course, next level financial energy is not a stimulant, no letdown, but it has that effect. On a classical stimulant, it is the concentrate breakdown of pure folic acid that your body 100% metabolizes. Next level foundational energy. It's amazing, but you have to take action to support the transmission. Next level foundational energy, immune support, all of it, the nano silver products, the colloidal silver, 30 parts per million silver bullet. Top Brain is a stimulant. It's amazing and clean and powerful. Rocket Rest is an incredible herb-based sleep aid, that's so good for your whole body and immune system. It's all there at drjonesnaturals.com. Just the initials, drjonesnaturals.com. Okay. I've already mentioned this a bunch, but let's talk about it right now. That weirdo that dresses up like Count Dracula, the head of the Supreme Court, threatens to ban X, says you must come back, because 2 weeks ago he removed his company and left there, but he can still get his feeds into there. They're saying we're going to put up a firewall and block X, and then we're going to charge you for obstruction of justice if anybody can visit your website in Brazil. Wow, that's a great crime with the communists running it. And they're saying they're going to charge him with obstruction of justice. Brazil threatens to block X to within 24 hours after platform refused to censor. And the guy literally goes around in a Darth Vader outfit. Telegram CEO Durov charged for allowing alleged criminal activity on the app. Oh, somebody out of a billion users might have done something wrong. Well, they've got Section 230 here. He's protected. Same thing with the EU, but they don't care. Now they've charged him with a bunch of crap. Alexander de Moraes is an evil clown, I wrote. He demands Elon Musk come back into his jurisdiction or he will shut him down. This tyrant judge is like an ant on the ground demanding an eagle land so the ant can sting it. Brazil's Supreme Court Justice Alexander de Moraes says he will immediately shut down X if Elon Musk does not reopen the Brazil offices and comply with the censorship orders, which were secret. Brazil is mere hours away from becoming a dictatorship without freedom of speech. It already is. There's another clip I want to play. Let's go ahead and do this now. This is on X with Tucker. Elon Musk is the greatest national security threat than Russia, the warmongers, and our government think so. Watch the full conversation. We have it linked with Mike Ben Cyber on TuckerCarlson.com. Here's the clip.
Wrote just a few months ago that Elon Musk is a greater national security threat to the United States than Russia.
Then wake the up, these people. Course, I mean, come on.
This is a few months ago, not post-outbreak of the war. This is in 2024. And that Elon is a greater threat to the United States and U.S. national security than Russia, because allowing, you know, opposition political movements to rise will cause changes in U.S. government that are more likely to make us lose the war on Russia than Russia itself.
You wrote this in public?
Yes. The National Endowment for Democracy gets its funding by the U.S. government. It is accountable to Congress.
But imagine a more anti-American belief than American citizens shouldn't be allowed to talk. American citizens shouldn't be allowed to vote. American citizens shouldn't be allowed to choose their own leaders. Imagine thinking something like that and imagining that you're an American. You're spinning me into a frenzy. As you always do.
All right, folks. We're going to go to break. Dr. David Martin is going to be joining us. This is going to be a huge, massive interview. One of the smartest people out there exposing the enemy's criminal activities and all these new poison shots they've got ready with emergency authorization. That's coming up. But first, a special report. That first 5 minutes of some stations don't carry. Are we too stupid to take the fluoride out of the water? Are we already so poisoned by it we won't stand up for ourselves? Hour number three straight ahead. Follow me on X with Alex Jones. Tell everybody you know. Tune in now.
Fluoridation first began?
No, I don't.
1946. 1946, Mandrake. How does that coincide with your post-war commie conspiracy?
It's incredibly obvious, isn't it? A foreign substance is introduced into our precious bodily fluids without the knowledge of the individual. Certainly without any choice. That's the way your hardcore commie works.
If you go back to the end of World War II, and now that the people that ran our country had defeated, you know, some of the other competing tyrannies, they wanted a way to lower fertility, dumb people down, give them higher cancer rates and more docile. And they began to add the waste from aluminum production and nuclear weapons, uranium purification, and from phosphate mining for fertilizer, and they would then take the raw mix of that toxic waste that was incredibly expensive to store, and they would dump it into the water supply. By 1960, around 60% of the country had it, and today over 70% of the United States has fluoridation of water.
They knew in the 20s that sodium fluoride was a deadly chemical weapon that had a calmative effect that fractured the bones, the teeth, that attacked every organ in the body, particularly glands, calcified them. Thousands of studies by the 50s. They took the toxic waste but used the term fluoride as a whole subgroup of over 100 deadly chemicals.
Lead, mercury, arsenic.
Just on and on and on that they dump in your water.
The fight to warn the unsuspecting populace of the dangers of dumping industrialized hydrofluorosilicic acid into the public drinking water system in order to release fluoride ions to meet the CDC recommendations to a level of 0.7 to 1.2 milligrams per liter in order to help prevent tooth decay has been an ongoing battle for over a decade.
The Occupational Safety and Health Administration, otherwise known as OSHA, is a U.S. agency that requires companies to produce a Material Safety Data Sheet, or an MSDS, for every chemical product in the market. The MSDS that Mosaic produces for their fluoride product will make your hair stand on end.
So what we find in the case of the Mosaic, their hydrofluorosilicic acid, is that it is not a pharmaceutical-grade product. It is an industrial grade chemical, and under Section 2 hazard identification, it identifies a health hazard as being corrosive to the skin, the eyes, and the mucous membranes. If you come in contact with it through the skin or inhalation or ingestion, such as swallowing it, it may cause severe irritation and burns.
Our studies involve comparing the deaths of all persons in the 10 largest fluoridated cities of the United States with the 10 largest non-fluoridated cities in the United States year by year, which you can see here, perhaps. Here is the fluoridated, and here is the non-fluoridated set of 10 cities each.
So AP reports, New York AP, U.S. government report expected to stir debate, concluded that fluoride in drinking water at twice the recommended limit is linked to lower IQs in children. It's also cancer, everything else I just mentioned. And they said with moderate confidence they know this. So they're getting out ahead of it because they're talking about all the chemicals in the water. They put the poison in the water, and they know exactly what they're doing. The report, based on analysis of previously published research, marks the first time the federal agency has determined with moderate confidence that there is a link between higher levels of fluoride exposure and lower IQs in kids. While the report was not designed to evaluate the health effects of fluoride in drinking water alone, it is a striking acknowledgement of a potential neurological risk from high levels of fluoride.
Lester Holt, chief propagandist at NBC News, attempted to keep the dying pro-fluoride narrative alive.
The CDC calls it one of the most important advances of the 20th century. But as Aaron McLaughlin reports, it's the latest front in the culture wars.
Major health organizations, including the CDC, the American Dental Association, and the American Academy of Pediatrics, support fluoride in drinking water. But it's been rejected by dozens of communities throughout the U.S. in recent years, with activists determined to press further.
Regardless of the propaganda, those with the ability to still critically think instinctively know there is a lot more to the story. John Baum.
Welcome. We're now into hour number three. And out of all the wonderful scientists and doctors and researchers and journalists that have been tirelessly exposing the big pharma criminal rollout of COVID and then the poison shots that are obviously far worse, Dr. David Martin is probably the most prolific and informative of them all. There's a lot of people that are close second or third, but he just really is able to educate people with the documents, with the facts. But I wanted to get him back on with the new declaration of an emergency by the UN with Mpox, with the bird flu, emergency authorization of this new mRNA, with all the fear-mongering, cities around the country shutting down already using the excuse of mosquitoes. They're definitely, with 67 days left of the election, trying to bring it back. And I'm not going to go over his whole bio, but he's the founder and chairman of MCAM, Inc., the international leader in innovation, finance, trade, and intangible asset finance. And he's worked, you know, been very famous in a lot of stuff with Bloomberg, HBO, been a General Assembly expert at the United Nations and had spoken there to congressional committees, state committees, you name it, in his previous work. Recently, Dr. Martin has turned his attention to providing his research-based facts around mRNA vaccines, the COVID pandemic, and the latest variant push, davidmartin.world. And we'll also put up his X account. And so I'm going to really do my best to give him the floor because, you know, the 50-something minutes we have left is just not enough time on the Mpox situation, the unending attack on free speech, and the incompetence of the judiciary. So, Dr. Martin, thank you so much for being here.
Alex, it's always an honor. Thank you for having me, and it's a delight to see you.
I'm going to try to sit back. You know, I'll write down questions and get to them later, but I'm going to try to give you the floor. Where should we start?
Well, listen, I think we have to remind people that the Nuclear Threat Initiative, which was published over 2 years ago, which was funded by Dustin Moskowitz, the co-founder of Facebook and the funder of Open Philanthropy, actually told us that the monkeypox craziness was going to be deployed, and it was going to be deployed roughly around this time. We actually knew it was coming, not unlike the coup d'etat that was COVID with respect to the election running up to 2020. What we know is that the monkeypox alleged pandemic of international concern is absolutely egregiously false. There is no international concern whatsoever. And quite frankly, there's no real credible evidence of any of this other than allegedly some symptoms that are associated primarily with outbreaks of a particular rash and a particular set of conditions associated with a very small subgroup of homosexual men reportedly in the Democratic Republic of Congo and a few cases allegedly reported in Germany. But here's the problem. The problem is this has nothing to do with monkeypox. You mentioned bird flu. It has nothing to do with bird flu. What this has to do with is the entire campaign to once again suppress the free and fair assembly of people and the free and fair assembly of ideas running up into an election. We saw this happen, by the way, going all the way through 2020. There's an enormous amount of propaganda that was distributed in the early part, in the mid part of 2020. And the specific reason why we had to have a public health emergency was so that public assembly, free communication, free thought could not happen. Please remember that back in 2020, when we were in the early days of what was declared to be the COVID pandemic, we had a number of cases, most notably in the Northeast, Massachusetts being one of the famous ones, where we actually had judges who made the mistake of saying that by keeping people in their houses, by not letting them assemble, by not letting them have access to their churches and their community centers and their other public gatherings, there was no restriction on free speech because, according to the judges, and remember, these are federal judges and state judges who all made the statement that the public still has access to an open and free conversation on social media. And this was directly referenced by a number of judges in the early days of the pandemic. Now, you know, Alex, that there was no intention of having free and fair communication on any of the social media platforms. As a matter of fact, Mark Zuckerberg's most recent written comments were that he probably shouldn't have allowed the COVID suppression to be what it was on Facebook. But here's the problem. The problem is we actually know that to control the narrative, you had to shut down people like me, people like you, and people who at the very beginning were saying that this was actually not a public health emergency. It had nothing to do with public health. It had everything to do with the suspension of civil liberties and the foreclosure on our basic rights in terms of freedom of assembly and freedom of speech. That is exactly what's happening right now. And that's the reason why we now see the judiciary being weaponized against the CEOs of tech companies to send a chilling message that says, if you allow communication to happen on your network, it doesn't matter what the network is, whether you're in France, whether you're in the UK, and obviously there's a huge push here in the United States to do the same thing. Criminalize not only the people who are saying things that are against the narrative, but criminalize the platforms on which they're said. This notion that somehow Elon Musk is, you know, terrorist number one in terms of a threat to democracy is laughable, because the fact is that this is the only platform that remains. And by this, I mean X, the only platform that remains in the large scale application of its use around the world, where the ideas that actually give rise to communication, which was the bedrock of how democracy was supposed to be formed, can be openly and freely discussed. And I have to say, although I am a huge, as you know, I've been very, very supportive of what Elon has tried to do with X, trying to keep the platform open, trying to keep it as censorship-free as possible, there is absolutely no question that even our conversations, Alex, the last one we did, you could watch what happened when it became super popular, because suddenly it became very difficult to find on any of the platforms, including X. So the fact of the matter is, we don't have an open and free dialogue, and the point of monkeypox and the point of the bird flu is to actually try to evergreen the suspension of civil liberties. And what I mean by that is very simple. If you go back and you look at Alex Azar's declarations in the first three quarters of 2020, what he did was he amended the 2005 PREP Act to reach further and further into the notion that anything that actually threatened the promulgation of a public health message was supposedly antithetical to the good order and discipline, which is protected under the First Amendment. As I pointed out in a number of more recent interviews, the First Amendment protections include, ironically, lying. It's how government propaganda gets away with doing what it does. It actually gets to lie because it's a protected form of speech. And what is mysterious is that for some reason, the misinformation, disinformation moniker that is put on people like myself who are trying to do nothing more than report the facts. For example, the Nuclear Threat Initiative, if people have not seen that document from 2022 and have not seen the plans associated with that document, I've said on numerous occasions The rollout of monkeypox was specifically to cover over the side effects and the autoimmune effects associated with the COVID injections. We knew that there were going to be growing concerns about skin lesions. We knew there were going to be growing concerns about shingles and chickenpox-like effects in adults. We needed to come up with a cover story. This is all documented, not in my research. It's documented in their publications that monkeypox was going to mysteriously show up, and it was going to serve as the cover story to allow people to say that, oh, it's a new pathogen that's causing this problem, and not look at the fact that this is actually anticipated and expected secondary effects of the mRNA injections. So this was not ever a pathogen of concern. It still isn't. There is no pathogen of concern. The concern is that this is the World Health Organization, the IHR, and the criminal cabal that I have mentioned all along, the Wellcome Trust, the Gates Foundation, Open Philanthropy, NIAID, CDC, FDA. This is a criminal conspiracy, a racketeering conspiracy. And the only reason why it is not being prosecuted is because under the PREP Act and under the doctrine of sovereign immunity, crimes can be committed by the public and by public officials. And because they are granted immunities under the PREP Act, because they're granted immunities under sovereign immunity, they can't be prosecuted. But here's the bad news. The bad news is the federal courts have decided to allow every declaration of emergency to suspend the constitutional challenges to any of these acts. And so we're really dealing with two independent crises. One is a judicial crisis, which is actually one where the courts are not even available to consider the criminality of the racketeering and corruption, because they've decided that while there's allegedly a declared emergency, there is no accountability. And that's what's happening on the federal and state court levels. And then on the international level, we are actually evergreening the ability to suspend civil liberties by virtue of saying that there's a public health emergency of international consequence, which in fact doesn't rise to the standard even defined by their own policies. So this is a criminal act. It's a criminal conspiracy. It's once again domestic and international terrorism, as I've said all along, no different from COVID. And what we're doing is we're watching as the world bends the knee again to tyrants.
Let me just add something here, and you please continue. As you're speaking, my mind is just exploding with all the examples of what you're saying is true. We're posting your Substack. We put the videos, the documents where they admit all this. So I have a couple questions here. Klaus Schwab, the U, and they all admit we're using COVID as a drill for climate lockdowns, social credit score,
yep,
working for home. So that basically they're just using it as a martial law training drill. That's A, they admit it. But B, why are they so transparent in a SPARS 2025, 2028 document that it's really a future war game battle plan? Why does the nuclear threat assessment you were talking about 2.5 years ago admit that right around this time they'd roll it out? Because at one level, they talk like they're the adults at the big table, we're kids at the small table. Why do they do that? Is it out of arrogance, or is it to look powerful to their minions? Because look, we talk about this openly, but then lie to them on the news. It's a two-tiered system.
Well, and I think, listen, I've talked about this through the lens of serial killers who like to leave totems and talismans behind to taunt the police. Klaus Schwab is a serial killer. You know, the Gates Foundation is a serial killer. The Wellcome Trust is a serial killer. These are serial killers who actually love to taunt the public by saying, look, we are going to put this information out in front of your face, and we're going to watch as you do nothing to address it. And here's the tragedy. I, as you know, Alex, I actually broke the story of monkeypox quite some time ago. And tragically, when everybody was talking about COVID, people were looking at me going, oh, there's Dave Martin going off on another conspiracy. Well, it turns out that I actually, in those 2022 and 2023 interviews, I actually laid out exactly what is happening. It's not Dave Martin forecasting. It's Dave Martin providing information and data, which is actually something that we could have and should have taken action with. The tragedy is, to your point, this idea that what we'll do is we'll put the information out and we will emasculate the public by actually laughing in their face, saying, look, we're going to tell you what we're going to do. We're going to tell you we're going to deprive you of liberties. And we're going to watch the impotence of you, your public officials, We're going to watch the impotence of every political campaign to actually allow this thing to be steamrolled. And what it is a public commitment to this acquiescence to an ultimately tyrannical form of social engineering and population control.
Let me just back you up on that, because more and more...
The end goal is killing people.
Sorry. End goal is killing people. Start over there. I just more and more I'm seeing them do this. They've always done it, but now it's getting crazy. Where Governor Newsom went on TV last week and said, yeah, we installed her. It's undemocratic. Ha, ha, ha. It's funny. Yeah, we didn't clean up San Francisco for you. We did it for Xi Jinping. Get used to it. He's literally like Patrick Bateman laughing and rubbing it in.
Well, and this is my point. My point is that you have been accused, I've been accused of allegedly being fear-mongering or anything else. But here's the problem. The problem is, if you look at the objective reality, what you see is that in each one of these cases, what we have seen is we have seen a willful suppression of all that stands for good liberty, all that stands for good order, all that stands for the principles upon which our country is founded. And by the way, the irony of the French arrest is near comical if you think about, you know, France being allegedly this hotbed of the foment which gave rise to this idea of liberty and egalitarianism and all of the things that were the hallmark of French philosophy during the Enlightenment and during Thomas Jefferson's visits over there. This whole construct that says that we are going to actually undermine the underlying principles under which every single one of our public institutions is predicated, we're not just going to undermine it, but the people who have been charged with protecting it, the people who have taken the oath of office, the people who have sworn to uphold the Constitution and protect it from enemies, foreign and domestic, these individuals are themselves traitors. And we need to call them what they are. I have been advocating since long before COVID, you know, this goes back to 2002. I've been advocating for a cessation of the weaponization of nature against humans. I've been calling for a number of these things. And what happens is that every single time we raise the issues, a handful of public officials will actually take a inconsequential public hearing. They'll do something in Congress. They'll do something at a state level. But the fact of the matter is the judiciary is allowing the erasure of our rights, and they are giving the public no access to due process. We have so many violations of the principles of free and fair elections. We have so many violations of the principles of due process. We have so many violations of the principle of upholding and defending the Constitution that what happens is the public becomes demoralized and sits back and says, oh, there's nothing we can do. And trust me, Alex, there are many days where I sit there going, am I just barking into the hurricane? But the fact of the matter is, I know, and I've said this many times, and I've said this on your show, I know that at some point there is going to be the AG, there's going to be the prosecutor, there's going to be the federal judge that actually listens to this and actually recognizes that this is their day of patriotism. I keep reminding people, if we want to think of where we are historically, we are right now in the pandemic generation. We are where Washington was at Valley Forge. We are where it looks dark. The enemy appears to be prevailing. They're in the heated houses in Philadelphia while everybody's freezing in Valley Forge. That's where it feels like we are. But this is the time to double down. Because if we don't double down, then what we do get is we do get the traitors. We do get the Benedict Arnolds. Those come out of this period where we lose our resolve to continue the fight because we're exhausted, we're tired, we feel like we've been defeated. And the fact of the matter is, like I did with the monkeypox, the reason why I went forward with that story when I did almost 2 years ago was because I wanted to make sure people couldn't say they were surprised by this one. And by the way, you know, I did this on our last conversation. We have 68 pathogens that we are monitoring right now. 68. This is a loaded gun. This is not monkeypox is over, COVID's over, you know, H5N2 is over. We've got 68 of these to come. So listen, this is
time. Well, explain that, Doctor. They've got weaponized versions or gain of function versions waiting.
Yes, of 68 other things. And those are toxins, those are pathogens, those are chemicals. Those are all sorts of things. And the fact is, and I put those up on my Twitter feed a while ago, you know, at some point, maybe after this, I'll post them again. But the fact of the matter is, we know that there are more coming. And this is not about a public health emergency. Listen, the best thing anybody listening to this can do right now is actually recognize that when you are told there is an emergency of international concern, remember that that is now code word for the preservation of tyrannical reach into the suppression of individual liberties. That's all it is. Nobody's dying of monkeypox. Nobody's dying of H5N2. And to the chagrin of all of NIAID, I pointed out that H5N2 was in patents filed in the United States where the supply of H5N2 was coming from NIAID's own commercial laboratory facilities. Literally, you could dial up the lab and get H5N2 delivered to you. So this idea that somehow or another there's a new variant, some new variants coming down the pike, it's nonsense. These things are published, they are written, they are in patent documents, and we are very, very clear on the fact that not a single one of these things has been a public health risk.
Now, we got to go to break in about 3.5 minutes, but I want to continue to give you the floor. But just, you're a really smart guy. You really know how to quantify things well. And it's not that we are copying each other. We're kind of just seeing the, you know, the same world, but you're more technical and you're able to elaborate on that, I think, better than I am. How would you, because I think knowing your enemy is important, how would you describe the actual controllers above these many in politicians? So I remember in the last 20 years reading Bloomberg articles, other stuff, Financial Times of London, where they were actually talking to themselves, and they said, we're now going to discredit the nation state, put in idiot leaders, make the public give up, and we'll bring in corporate global government, basically run by BlackRock with the ESGs and the social credit score system. But what is, I mean, we know they want to kill us, depopulate us, but what is the end game? How would you describe the actual controllers and who are they?
Yeah, well, as some people know, I wrote about that in my book, Coup de 12. I actually wrote specifically about the controllers and used that term back in 2011. But the controllers are very interesting, and there's a very particular profile that's fascinating about them. Most of them are actually individuals who have been capable of and ultimately achieved fairly significant financial or geopolitical success. And almost all of them have a deficit in their life, which is that they lost the child in their life that they wished would be their legacy. And this is a very interesting thing. I've tried to share this with people many times. I write about it in the book, which is when you actually exterminate an idea of your heritage, right? You actually don't see a future where you want your children or your grandchildren to survive and thrive. When you extinguish that impulse in people, there becomes a very interesting cognitive shift where suddenly you are indifferent towards life itself. And this is why I find the documents that have been drafted since 2011 so interesting. When you can callously make reference to the fact that we should eliminate anywhere from 10% to 30% of the global population, and that is done in a passing statement like, oh, and there's going to be a thunderstorm this afternoon. It's thrown away, but we don't actually sit with the gravity of what's being said. The gravity is we're talking about the extinguishment of somewhere between 800 million and potentially as much as 2.4 billion people. We're talking about killing that number of people, but we can do it like we're ordering a sandwich at lunch. This only comes from the absence of a humanity where you see yourself as part of a continuum. And that's why it is so critical, in my view, for people to understand that this is not a rational behavior. We try to rationalize it. We try to be good human beings going, well, good human being clearly wouldn't do that. Well, the fact of the matter is, these are people who are broken human beings who are indifferent to life. They are indifferent to anything other than their own limited period of time on this earth where they think they are going to control the narrative and ultimately leave a legacy because their legacy in terms of their progeny is no longer viable.
That's right. We got to go to break. I totally agree with that. If you look at the EU leadership, almost none of them have children. And when
That's exactly right.
Something clicks on, you care about everything now. You're not a collectivist,
exactly,
but you are
right.
A collectivist in your action. And then that creates, well, we'll talk about it when we come back. Stay with us, Dr. David Martin. All right, Dr. David Martin was going to the heart of the globalists. They are projecting their own hatred of themselves onto us. And there's a mix of different people. A lot of them are just psychos and love to kill people and hurt people. They love to brag. They love to desecrate Christianity. I mean, there are basic things they just love to do, and it makes them feel powerful. But I want to get into the latest numbers, the facts, the death numbers, all the key intel you've got. But in general, how has their attack gone? Because it has created a great awakening. They kind of want us to forget about that and move on to the next hysteria, the next fear. But I don't think this has gone too well. And when they are at the Clinton Global Foundation or UN events, and they openly, when they're not trying to put out to the general public, they say people hate us. They don't trust us. That was the main name of this year's Davos event. They've taken Schwab off the front billing. He's still the head of it, but he's so hated. So if you see Bill Gates clips, now his wife left him. Warren Buffett's pulled out of the foundation. All these other big groups are doing it. It looks to me like things didn't go the way they wanted, but they never give up. They're just steamrolling ahead with the plan.
Well, you know, I've encouraged people to go back and look at the Gates Foundation in its formation, because Janet Reno never disclosed what the actual, not surprisingly, undisclosed antitrust settlement was when Bill Gates was found to be a criminal, racketeer and monopolist. You know, it's not by any surprise that his reputation laundering exercise was to create this kind of evergreen pool of capital, which was not a fine in any way, shape, or form. Remember, the Gates Foundation became way more popular in terms of global consequence than Microsoft could have ever been. A technology company could never have had the influence that the Gates Foundation had. And by the way, everybody in the Clinton camp knows this. Everybody, you know, around Janet Reno knows this. They know what they did. And to your point, Alex, it's actually somewhat amusing that individuals, patriots like you and me, actually with precious little resources, with very, very little moral support or otherwise, we did actually have some amazing people who actually stood with us. But the fact of the matter is that, you know, the little guy actually came out with the David and Goliath story, and it looks like David actually won. Because remember that during COVID, and if you go back to 2011, to the decade of the vaccine, the publication by the World Health Organization's Global Preparedness Monitoring Board, we were supposed to have a universal acceptance of this kind of pan-influenza vaccine that was supposed to be a childhood mandatory vaccine for every infant at birth. Well, that didn't work out so well. And obviously, as you know, in 2018, Anthony Fauci lamented that nobody was actually taking his boy crying wolf seriously. So he needed to come up with a mythical wolf. And lo and behold, he had something in store. He actually had in 2016, the Wuhan Institute of Virology Virus 1 poised for human emergence, according to Ralph Barrett. He had the weapon already in the arsenal. And what he decided to do was deploy it, create what became the coup d'etat of 2020, which is Alex Azar taking over and Anthony Fauci taking over and Deborah Birx taking over the United States government, while President Trump stood by and did not know at the time, nor does he still know, that he was actually a victim of a coup in his own administration. But here's the facts. The facts are that they wanted everybody to fall for the terrorist coercion, and it didn't work. A third of people lined up for the shot. A third of people only took it because they were coerced. They had to do it for their job. They had to do it to travel. They had to do it to visit family and loved ones. They had to do it to get into hospitals and clinics, nursing homes, etc. But that third that actually did it in coercion was also a third that knows that they were lied to. They know that it was a lie. They know that even under the declaration in the CARES Act in 2020, and once again, I go back to these are facts, you can go look at them. In the CARES Act, the reason why Alex Azar was able to actually say that this particular injection family, the mRNA injection family, was supposedly going to be something that public health would benefit from, was because he said it would mitigate the spread of COVID-19. Alex, look how many times Anthony Fauci has not only gotten COVID-19, but look how many times he's allegedly also now gotten all kinds of other, his own pathogens. The fact of the matter is, Alex Azar lied to the president, had Donald Trump sign documents based on lies. He actually defrauded the United States, and he did it at the behest of individuals who actually had economic gain. And here's the tragedy. The tragedy is some of those individuals are, in fact, the large donors to both political parties. I would love to sit here today and tell you that with all of the developments with Trump and RFK and all of the things that have been happening in the last couple of weeks, that somehow or another David Martin has finally broken down and been enthusiastic about this. But here's the problem. I will not violate the integrity of the facts that Donald Trump had a traitor in his office, Alex Azar. And Alex Azar and Anthony Fauci conspired to overthrow the government and did it. And they did it right under his nose. And at no point has the president been informed of this, because individuals who had economic gain from the very coup that happened are the ones writing checks to his campaign and to the campaigns of the Democrats. So the fact of the matter is, and this goes to your earlier observation, we have an economic interest that is actually not interested in who wins the White House, because winning the White House is merely the theater that continues the distraction that keeps the public from actually ever addressing the real issues. We have to have immediately a constitutional passage of laws that outlaw gain of function research, that outlaw the suspension of civil liberties and our basic rights under our protected amendments. We have to have a law that says that no public media institution, whether it's telecommunications, whether it's social media, whether it's the distribution of media, no media can be censored for any reason, because it is, in fact, this public health exemption. And I'm going to be giving a lecture next week in Washington, D.C. The public health exemption has been put in place since the early 1900s. And by the way, it actually goes back to some of the shipping and quarantine acts in the 1800s. But it has been put in place specifically so that there is always one pathway to make sure that Americans don't have their rights. Public health, since the 1800 Quarantine Act, has been the pathway to suspend civil liberties. And I want to be really clear on something. Everybody talks about the 1905 Jacobson case as though it justified this idea that we all had to be injected, which, by the way, never did. Read the case. What it said was, if you don't get injected, you can be fined. And that's what the case actually said. It never said anybody had to be injected at all.
Yeah, but we also have federal court cases. We also have federal court cases saying black people aren't human. So all court cases we can.
Right. But if you go back, there's an interesting other case, which is Juho v. Williamson. It's a California Supreme Court case out of what was allegedly the influenza pandemic in 1900. And this is a really important one. It was so important, Alex, that the FDA, prior to the release of COVID, actually had an internal document where they were teaching people how to avoid violating the California Supreme Court ruling in Juho v. Williamson, which said you cannot make a capricious determination of one population to quarantine and another population that's free to move about. Well, guess what we did in COVID? We let bars open, we let certain things open, but we actually closed down churches, we closed down gyms, we closed down places where people freely meet and assemble, and we did it in violation of Juho v. Williamson. But that was not an afterthought. That was something that the CDC had in a training document to premeditate the suspension of civil liberties. The CDC itself knew, as a government agency, it was violating the law, and it taught their agents how to violate the law. This is how bad it gets. And that's why I keep going back to encouraging people to go to the first year and a half of Kim and my shows on the Butterfly of the Week on David Martin World on YouTube. If you go back and look at those videos, we lay out all of these facts long before COVID became a popular topic. We talk about the CDC's corruption of the law. We talk about the data collection processes that were done. We talk about Palantir and Peter Thiel, and how much Peter Thiel is influencing, obviously, the Trump campaign, J.D. Vance, et cetera. But we talk about Palantir and how instrumental Palantir was in the promulgation of the data collection and surveillance state that we currently live in. We're trying so hard to pretend like there are good guys and bad guys. And let's be really clear. There are only bad guys if their intent is to deprive humanity of liberty.
Now, I've got a few questions here. Great points. Since you mentioned it, I've got a clip of Bill Gates about 5 years ago, and he's saying, yeah, we just take these genetically modified organisms and shoot them right in the veins of children to see what they do. We have the FDA third or fourth board they got while they're voting from a few years ago. I played it on Monday. saying, we don't know what this is going to do in children, so we're just going to shoot it at them and see what happens. We have Netanyahu on with a big podcaster, Jordan Peterson, a year and a half ago, saying Israel will be the headquarters of this because we're going to just test on the Israelis with their national healthcare system, their national health ID, and we'll find out what works and what doesn't. So there's this hiding it in plain view, rubbing our noses in it. Now the Democrats are, yeah, illegals are going to vote, and yeah, we're going to give them free healthcare and free housing and you know, free education. So they're really just coming out in the open. Here's Bill Gates bragging.
Yeah. Is there something to worry about with medicines? That is, might some of them have side effects? Do we need safety testing? I mean, and we're taking things that are, you know, genetically modified organisms, and we're injecting them in little kids' arms. We just shoot them right into the vein.
He's literally getting off on it right there.
Yep. Well, and this is what I said before. This is actually the behavior of not just a bad actor. This is the behavior of a serial killer. He doesn't have any problem with the fact that in the name of experimentation and expediency, he's killed numerous children in Indian clinical trials of all kinds of drugs. He doesn't have any problem with the idea of injecting things into children. And by the way, anybody who injected mRNA into a vein would in fact be a serial killer, because that's actually not how you do an IM injection. So even the way he says it, it's actually a constructive admission to a crime. I mean, this guy has zero capability to actually get out of his own way, because he has been put into the position of being the implementer in chief of the plan, which actually is not a plan that Bill Gates created. It's a plan that Bill Gates is part of the implementation side of its execution. That's why I try to remind people that we need to have an open conversation going into the next 60 days about who is funding campaigns, and let's have disclosures on how many dollars did they make from Moderna investments? How many dollars did they make from Pfizer investments? These are very simple questions. I asked the question of Vivek Ramaswamy back when he was running for the nomination. I asked the question, does anybody care about his investment in the lipid nanoparticle that was actually used to carry the mRNA into billions of people's arms? Now, I was told that that was unpatriotic and it was inappropriate. But the fact of the matter is, if you go back and look at the Acuitas Arbutus pharmaceutical, you know, University of British Columbia sourced lipid nanoparticle, which was the carrier for all of the mRNA shots, that's how Vivek got his money. And people don't like when I say that. They go, yeah, but he got his money other places and it's not just from that. May be true, but here's the problem. The problem is, if you're using pandemic-derived resources to fund a campaign, is there any reasonable expectation that we're going to have truth and accountability on the part of the candidates being supported by
that
money?
No, I understand. Your concern is that the deep state, your concern is the deep state's putting their people around Trump. I don't think there's any doubt that that's happening. I'm not saying he is that, but it should be investigated, and it's all fair game, and I definitely hear what you're saying. So let me bring us to this point. If their project is long-term, and it has all these cumulative effects, turbo cancers, the rest of it, and this information continues to come out, you've already laid out a blueprint of how you think we stop them. But for the average person listening, what do they do?
So as I said in a recent conversation, the place you start is yourself. You have to start with making sure that you actually examine yourself. You make sure that you're examining the way you're living. I saw in the break that, you know, you had Peter McCullough on there. I think his recommendations about making sure that you take care of your own health so that you're not susceptible to whatever is done in the environment is actually a great thing. I've encouraged that. I've encouraged people to look into John Hewlett's CardioMiracle for the exact same reason, because I actually think that the more we can do to make ourselves healthy, the better we are when it comes to environmental exposures to all manners of things, not just these biological weapons. But I think what we have to do is, I think we have to see in the next 60 days, we have to see the public double down on making the issues actually something that have to be part of the conversation during the campaign. We are not having conversations about gain of function research, and we must. We are not having conversations about the judiciary suspending access to courts in the name of public health emergencies. We're not having those conversations. And we have to have public statements of our public officials where they are actually committing to either caring about upholding and defending the Constitution or admitting to the fact that they are going to allow public health terrorism to suspend the Constitution. This is a simple conversation. It's a simple topic. But unfortunately, we are not seeing the candidates pressed on it. Nobody is pressing either side on these issues. And the reason is because, as I came back before, the funding sources that enrich themselves on the back of knowing, and by the way, it goes back to the 2015 Peter Daszak quote, investors will respond if they see profit at the end of the process. The problem that we have is that we have an economic incentive that says no matter who occupies the White House, none of that's going to matter because at the end of the day, what's going to happen is the corporate interests and the financial interests who realize that for the public to be cowed into submission, we use public health fear and we use domestic and international terrorism with biological weapons to actually get them to cower.
And let me back you up on that. I remember on C-SPAN in 2018 and 19, there were a series, we played the clips before, of all the different health officials, government agency people, Fauci on C-SPAN saying, we're about to blow up the old system. We're about to bring in all these new therapies, yep. mRNA. We're probably going to use something like bird flu out of China to do it. And they were just openly saying this is going to be the future and investors exactly should get right. involved. You know, kind of like the former head of Google, Eric Schmidt, was at Stanford just a few weeks ago and openly said, you know, here's the companies to invest in. This is the future. I mean, it's all insider trading. It's out in the open. So let me bring you to Zuckerberg. Why do you think, after all these federal officials lied and said they weren't involved in censoring the election or COVID or any of this, why do you think he put that letter out saying he was pressured? Is it because he doesn't want to lie to Congress? Because he knows whistleblowers are about to come out? I mean, we know Zuckerberg's a pretty soulless character. Why do you think he did that?
Yeah, I'll tell you what, it was a very fascinating thing to see. And as you can imagine, when I saw it, I actually had exactly the same thought you had, which is, you know, it's a little too late. The fact of the matter is you did what you did. You know, it would be meaningful if you reinstated the content that he took down from you, from me and from people like us. But that's not what he did. He actually pretended to actually have this now act of contrition that maybe he was pressured into something. But I think what we have is a situation where it is in the financial interest of Facebook to now recognize that they have now been seen as a covert propaganda arm rather than a public social media platform. And that's starting to bite them back. If you look at their financials, you see exactly why he did it. He did it because there are an enormous number of people who now realize that Facebook is feeding an AI algorithm, and that's not going over very well. It's actually feeding the propaganda machine of the covert operations that happen in the United States and around the world, and that's not going very well. Remember that the very issues that back in the Arab Spring, and I raised this issue a few weeks ago, the Arab Spring uprising, when everybody was hailing social media as this platform for democratic reform. In fact, the European Union in 2015 actually passed laws that said that no one could actually suppress any information on social media because they said online rights are the same as offline rights. They were the ones that said that. This is absolutely 100% their rules, their laws. And then what do? They threaten Elon Musk when he interviews Donald Trump. They threaten him with deplatforming. They were violating their own rules because when it was overthrowing governments in the Middle East and North Africa, we were all about it. It was a great way to actually foment unrest. It was a great way for getting people to get active. The Arab Spring was nothing but a social media revolution and giant surprise. The Europeans and the Americans celebrated that. They celebrated the devastation of free and fair elections in Egypt because they wanted to influence the outcome. But the minute the shoe's on the other foot, they violate their own laws. And these are not kind of guidelines and recommendations. These are outright laws. I did a post right after the Elon Musk, Trump interview. I did a post about all of the violations of European Union laws that the European Union's digital manager had in fact committed. And guess what? Within 2 days, the European Union actually disavowed her actions. We're having an effect, Alex. I keep coming back to this. We have to stay focused on the real issues. Spending time feeding AI algorithms about fear, about monkeypox, or about H5N2 or any of those things, feeding that AI beast is serving their objective. feeding the story about the criminality of the racketeers, the conspirators, and the terrorists who are destroying freedom of speech and freedom of assembly. That's the message we need to actually be promoting. And for the next 60 days, we need everybody listening to the show to actually make sure those messages get out there, because that's what the algorithms will ultimately pick up.
Explain that for people that don't understand, because you're not just one of the smartest people, or the smartest probably, when it comes to explaining all this. And dead on, you also, I mean, I see your videos all the time, 50 million, 100 million, even with them trying to suppress it, you reach billions of brains out there. I mean, you definitely, people resonate with what you're saying. So explain to them, that's what I was told by how little people in Google and you name it. They said, don't you know, Alex, you were picked early in a war game like 7-8 years ago with AI that they had obviously back then too, to train an avatar they would fight with and then also try to change that avatar of who you were. It gets really complex. And people don't understand AI is just a mirror of us. So they try to train it in closed AI, but then when they turn it loose in the public, they say we infected. Well, what's happening is the truth's infecting it. So really, we act like AI is all powerful, but we are the masters of the AI if we realize it.
No question. Listen, if we truth bomb every algorithm and truth bomb it with things like biowarfare, bioweapon, don't call it vaccine, don't call it COVID-19, call it a genetically modified biological weapon, call it gain of function research. The terms that we use, and think about when you go into a Google search engine, remember what it does is it suggests the proposed search terms that you probably are interested in. Well, what is that? That's an algorithm that's a frequency-based algorithm that actually triggers your mind to go, oh, yeah, that's what I'm talking about. The more you talk about Dustin Moskowitz and open philanthropy and their criminal conspiracy with the Bill and Melinda Gates Foundation, with World Economic Forum, with the Johns Hopkins University, the more you use the term Dustin Moskowitz and criminal conspiracy, the more you use the term, you know, Bill and Melinda Gates Foundation racketeering, the more you actually use that term, the more the algorithm starts picking those things up. I encouraged people back at the very beginning not to use the word vaccine, because vaccine was a trigger word that was going to be flagged in the algorithms. But if you use the term bioweapon, if you use the term gain of function, if you use the term biological toxin, these are things which actually will become more visible. So we need the public to actually step away from the language of the incumbency. I have a whole video on David Martin World. Go onto YouTube, have a look at that. But you've got to look at how we get fooled by using the language of the incumbency. We have to step away from that so that we don't actually fall into their trap. And Alex, I cannot recommend enough, between now and 60 days from now, we need the terms like gain of function. We need the terms like bioweapon. We need the terms like racketeering to be popularized by the people who are actually sharing things on X and on Instagram and on all forms of social media, Rumble, YouTube. I don't care where it is. Make that term popular, because that will give us the ability to continue to move forward with all of the things we're doing on the legal front. And, you know, we're working very, very hard every day to make sure that we succeed. We will succeed, but we will succeed better with the great support of people like your listeners.
Doc, thank you so much for the time. DavidMartin.world, DavidMartin.world. They can follow you on X. We'll put that on screen as you leave. Thank you for spending the time with us. And as soon, you always have a lot more information. As soon as you can, with more info, please join us again.
Happy to do so, Alex. Thank you very much. Thanks for having me on.
Thank you. I'm going to come back a little bit in the next hour. We have a guest host, and then Owen Schroer in 1 hour takes over. Follow him at Dr. Martin World on X, at Dr. Martin World. And folks, this has been a live show. It'll be archived at man.video and X. It's up to you now to carry the ball. We can stop these people, but you're the Paul Revere's. Hour number four, straight ahead. All right, Daniel Estulin, we got our wires crossed. He was supposed to be hosting yesterday in the fourth hour, but he didn't. That's fine. We understand. He's loaded for bear on them going after Elon Musk, them arresting him out of Telegram, and so much more. He'll be hosting the rest of the hour coming up here in exactly 6 minutes. But let me just say something really important here, and I mean this. You know, it's super important, obviously. I didn't choose Team Humanity. I didn't choose to fight the globalists, in my view. I can't help it. I believe in humanity. I love humanity. I love my children. That means I love you, because this is the world they're going to live in. I have a lot of empathy. I do care. And the globalists manipulate those of us that have feelings into doing things we think are moral, but we really serve evil. You can't just be a good person and care. You've got to have the facts. You've got to be engaged. And the last hour with Dr. David Martin was incredible. Everything he said you can pull up in the enemy's own words. This is really happening. They're really slowly killing us and consolidating power and control to, quote, depopulate the earth. And so I saw this new report this morning. I posted it on Real Alex Jones that the undercover crew with the great Steven Crowder got. And it is the self-described globalist United Nations legal affairs official says he's not sure institution is going to survive. Second Trump term reveals colleagues terrified of his reelection, admits UN is 95% useless at primary function of international peace and security. Well, this guy's just naive. Their job is to create instability and depopulation to war. Powerful video. I'll get to it tomorrow. I'm sure Owen will cover it today as well. It's a big deal, but be sure to go to Real Alex Jones and share that. I go to Steven Crowder on his X and get it. And that's my point. We're dropping and promoting and magnifying and amplifying mega bombshells against tyranny every day. And when I think about how I say, hey, we're having this great effect, this is really important, those aren't just words. When you sit back and think about what the InfoWars family's done because of the audience of supporters and activists and our crew and our guest and our investigative journalists and our whistleblowers, it's mind-blowing. So we're up against the globalists. We have the deep state, the CIA, the FBI trying to shut us down, but they're not all powerful. Because of your support, we're still here. But being on empty, hanging on by my fingernails is not the place to be. I want to expand and go on offense against the enemy even more. So please think about the lives we've saved together that you've saved by spreading the word and supporting this broadcast and others. And really think about, are you doing everything you can to fight tyranny? Because you can run for office, you can go to church, you can speak out, you can call and talk radio, you can file lawsuits, you can be healthy, you can take care of your family. All that is how we save our society, our country, our world, our civilization. But supporting this broadcast, out of all the places you can support, I humbly believe, and I think it's prima facie, on its face true, is one of the most effective things you can support. Plus, we have amazing products you need. So make the decision. It's up to you to make the decision. And it's an important decision. It's a smart decision. These products will enrich and empower your life with information and with word of mouth, if it's a t-shirt or a book or a film or your body's health with a water filtration or the supplements. Please make the decision. Now more than ever, we need your support. InfoWarsStore.com. So many great products back in stock, like Vitamin Refusion about to sell out, all the InfoWars MD line of products, the Turmeric 95, the just all the amazing stuff. The ashwagandha, the incredible CBD gummies and 1,000 milligram tincture that's so good for your whole body and immune system and inflammation. It's all there under the InfoWars MD line and the other great supplements at InfoWarsStore.com or 888-253-3139. And then it is so critical to support our sponsor in the whole fight against the tyrants, because they don't just come after me, they come after my family. My dad's been so instrumental in this whole operation for at least 13 years. He's got his own operation now. DrJonesNaturals.com. Get your nano silver. Get your colloidal silver there. Get your fluoride-free, high-quality concentrated toothpaste with iodine and tea tree and nano silver and all of it at DrJonesNaturals.com. Get your next level foundational energy. Get your Shroom Force. Get your Kaba Chill. Get your Rocket Rest. Get your Top Brain. But it is a great stimulant, natural and amazing, at drjonesnaturals.com. So we have a platform to reach tens of millions today with people like Elon Musk, retweeting what we're doing, and people like the great individual that is coming up right now, Daniel Estulin, investigative journalist. Stay with us.
Good afternoon, ladies and gentlemen. Thanks so much for joining us. This is Daniel Estulin. I'm sitting in for Alex Jones. It's great to be again hosting the InfoWars Alex Jones channel. Premium news channel for anyone who wants to understand how things really work around the world. I want to talk to you about Durov, Pavel Durov. Now, this morning I heard an interesting version of Durov's arrest from one of my former intelligence contacts. Now, the French Secret Service learned a terrible secret during their recent investigation of Pavel Durov. There's no such thing as Pavel Durov. The genius creator of Telegram. Neither is there such a thing as his brother, Kolya Durov, the genius IT specialist allegedly behind the programming of Telegram.
Well, there is a guy. What there is a guy leading a luxurious, a glamorous lifestyle who is well-spoken, who is handsome, who can tell fabulous fairy tales to the people like Tucker Carlson. And so the French intelligence are shocked by what they've learned. It's according to my intel sources in the Russian intelligence. Now, Durov brothers have no access to any encryption keys and can't offer anything to the French government. And so Pavel Durov is like the Wizard of Oz, all smoke and mirrors. Think of Durov as a kind of an avatar of a project developed in the depth of the Russian state itself. To tell you the truth, the French intelligence, well, they began to suspect something of a kind. Why? Because they hacked the phone of Durov's previous girlfriend in April. You see, Durov changes girlfriends like we change socks. And so what did they find in his girlfriend's phone? Nothing. Nada. Nothing. Well, they found tons of nude photographs of his girlfriend, photos of them at parties, horseback riding, gym photographs in different poses. But Durov knows nothing. And so the question is, now what? Okay, so that's one version. Let's talk about another version, version number two. There's been a lot of talk about Putin stepping in and helping his buddy Pavel Durov. First of all, I have no idea where this thing about Putin and Durov being friends comes from. They do not know each other. They're not friends. They have never been friends. In fact, Durov doesn't give a damn about Russia and hasn't given a damn about Russia for a long time or never. That said, Russian patriots, they want Putin to save Durov because, after all, he's Russian and Telegram is ours. That is, if you don't believe the first version, where the Durov brothers know absolutely nothing. Now, Telegram is not ours, and Durov is a citizen of the world in his own words. And so, if we're to take the conspiracy of the version number two of the events, the worst thing the Russian authorities can do for Durov is defend him. Now, Telegram, although it has over 1 billion subscribers, is a project with a somewhat specific reputation for being a resource used by criminals and pedophiles and marginalized people in the West. Let's call spade a spade. Telegram is a third world messenger service. And it's very difficult to change that image in the West. And it's not even a question of whether it's good or whether it's bad. It's a question of competition with giants like Google and Facebook, which have taken their dominant position in the market and do not intend to give it up easily. Now, you could make a case that perhaps, you know, you can build something, okay, around Durov as somebody who's being persecuted for truth and freedom of speech based on the fact of, you know, his arrest. But to do this, you're going to have to spend extraordinary amounts of money, not to mention have a very formidable marketing, propaganda, publicity campaign. Unfortunately, Russia is not very good at these kinds of things, and haven't been good at these kinds of things, as we have seen in the war against Ukraine. So that kind of propaganda is out of the question. There's another factor to consider, and I talked about this before. People in the West, for whatever reason, think of Russia as a homogenous country. Well, the entire nation working towards defeat the enemy. Unfortunately, this is not the case. In fact, there's two Russias, just as there are two Americas. There's the deplorable America, in the words of Hillary Clinton, and there's the liberal America who hates the deplorables and who hates Trump. And these two Russias, as is these two Americas, they live side by side. So one Russia is a Russia of small towns and villages, Russia of those whose sons and daughters are at war. This Russia organizes daily collections for the army, for the much-needed drones, clothes, all kinds of other trinkets the army doesn't have because of, you know, billions literally have been stolen from the budget. And dozens of Russia's generals, including former Minister of Defense and his entire team, are in prison or under investigation for corruption. And then there's the other Russia, Russia of the big cities, of the privileged class, of the beautiful people, of the liberals. And that Russia is extremely unhappy with Putin's war. They're traitors, they're not patriots. Just like the liberal banking financiers, they're not patriots. They're traitors in the United States. And so this second Russia, which is unhappy with Putin's war, well, they want to travel to Paris. They want to shop in Milan, go to St. Moritz on holidays, go to London over the weekend, schmooze with a jet set. But instead of that, Putin's war, as they call it, has deprived them of the privileges that their status allows them. And so they wait and they scheme and they hope the West defeats Russia and turns the country into a lapdog of the collective West. Well, they don't care. They just want to be accepted by the West. Is that too much to ask? They ask. And so Durov is part of the second Russia. He's Russian only nominally, only because he speaks the language, has a very Russian face, has a Russian passport. He also has a French passport, a United Arab Emirates passport. And it doesn't make him any more French or than his Russian passport. And it's quite possible that the United States of America will demand Durov's extradition. There are no legal grounds for this, but the United States knows how to play the game. And so Durov is a citizen of Russia, he's a citizen of France, but he's not the citizen of the United States. He's been charged with violating the laws of the European Union, but not of the United States. And nevertheless, the main thing in big politics is interest. And the United States is very interested in Pavel Durov. And that said, Durov's arrest is a multi-level operation. It's a part of this great tug of war between the conditional French Rothschild and also the Anglo-Rockefellers. And so Putin, having started this, the sovereign part of the Great Reset, not wanting to play on the team with the Rothschilds and Jacques Attali, meaning Macron, to implement the global project Greater Europe from Lisbon to Vladivostok. He became the enemy of the conditional French Rothschilds and also the Anglo-Rockefellers. Because for the global French in the Great War with the neocons for this global dominance, a global digital platform is needed like air. And given that, except for TikTok, you have all the other platforms that are controlled by the Anglo-Saxons. Durov, with his French passport and his Telegram, became an ideal target. Because on the one hand, for punishing Putin, and on the other hand, with the attempt through Durov's arrest to take control of Telegram. And therefore, there will be no second Assange, as some have already suggested. There will be negotiations. There will be an agreement later on down the line. It's not a story about freedom of speech. It's a story about global great game of winners and losers at the table of history. So let me give you version number three. Durov as a trap for Macron organized by the intelligence community itself. And so the French prosecutor's office charged Durov with 12 crimes, if I'm not mistaken, including complicity in the possession of pornography with minors, drug trafficking. But in fact, he's guilty of something else. It's not hidden in refusing to systematically and systemically to cooperate with Western intelligence agencies on cybercrime, on financial crime and Telegram. In other words, not to respond to one-time requests to provide direct access to all data, which is what Zuckerberg has done. And the arrest of one of the largest technology leaders on the planet, the front man of this huge communications platform for crimes that were committed in the world with itself, but not by himself, is absolutely unprecedented in the annals of history. And it's no coincidence that Macron was forced to justify himself yesterday. He said that the matter is not political. Of course it is political. And the fact that the main French opposition parties on the right and left, from Le Pen to Bardet to Mélenchon, they've kept their mouths shut and have not commented on Durov's arrest is quite telling. And the French media is also mum. The French politicians, they do not want to be smeared in this, call it unusual case until the entire situation clears itself up. And so the question is, who is behind this? The United States, London, European Union, transnational corporations. And so the European Union is also washing its hands of the whole thing. European Union spokesman Peter Stano, he said that the arrest of the Telegram founder is not within European Union's competence. Are you serious? Now, the Belgian regulator, which is tasked with overseeing Telegram in the European Union, said it has nothing to do with Durov's arrest in France and has not received any information about violations by Telegram. Are you serious? I think it's obvious that France is not an independent player. I think it's obvious that somebody's pulling the strings from behind the scene. Now, Durov is being interrogated as part of this investigation in connection with suspicion of numerous cyber crimes. And the case was opened back on July 8th. And obviously, Macron has a role to play in this whole thing. And it's also obvious that thanks to Macron, France, as a nation state, has lost the image of a free country historically secured since the 18th century. So the intelligence agencies have set up Macron and the entire French establishment. And this French establishment is putting a lot of pressure on Macron, and he's now trying to wiggle somehow out of this whole thing. And there's two options. Option number one, either by extraditing Durov to the United States, shifting the blame to the Biden-Harris administration. Let them sort it out. That's not happening anytime soon. Or number two, by releasing Durov from custody on bail or some kind of other restrictions and hope that Durov, maybe he will escape. Well, we now know it's number two. And so Macron has very little time to decide how exactly to get rid of Durov. Because with the help of Telegram, Durov has built a billion strong community where people with different opinions, religious, political views already stand up for the architect. Let me give you another version. Let's talk about Durov's girlfriend. Now, she was released from the police custody in Paris yesterday, if I'm not mistaken. Her name is Yulia Vavilova. Now, many believe that Yulia Vavilova is a honey trap of the intelligence services who lured Durov into an arrest. Whether this is true or this is not true will become clear from her behavior, you know, now that she's free. For example, if she, instead of immediately taking advantage of her new popularity, trying to somehow help Durov, disappears from the radar, then it's quite likely that she has already played her role. Now, Vavila, who accompanied Durov on his trip to Paris, may be a Mossad agent, according to the British Daily Mail newspaper. I don't think so. If Vavilova was recruited by an intelligence agency, then I think it was the French, not the Israelis. Why do I think this? Again, remember, the French control Armenian intelligence agencies. And before Durov, Yulia Vavilova, she dated Georgi Sardarian, whose father, businessman Tigran Sardarian, is called a great friend of the Prime Minister of Armenia, Nikol Pashinyan. And so if we are to extrapolate this more, ultimately the pro-British intelligence network, we could talk about Five Eyes, we could talk about Nine Eyes at work here. And by the way, Durov's previous girlfriend, Irina Bolgar, she just surfaced as well. And so Durov unexpectedly shocked the world, literally on July 29, with a very strange confession that he was a sperm donor and had more than 100 children all over the world. Now think about that. At that time, the reasons for the leak were absolutely unclear. Now, before that, on July 25th, Bolgar, his ex-girlfriend, she gave her first interview providing journalists with evidence that she was the mother of Durov's three children. And that Bolgar has been suing Durov since 2023, with only became known on August 28th, when Durov ended up in prison. And so Dourif immediately realized where things were going and began preparing for the information war on all fronts as well. Now remember something else. Dourif has been a very, 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 very private person until this year. And then suddenly in 2024, he abruptly changed his position. And he started giving a whole bunch of interviews, two in February, then in March, the Financial Times, in April, to Tucker Carlson. And he spoke for the first time at the International Token 2049 conference in Dubai, announcing the total tokenization of Telegram. And at the same time, Ukraine and Europe, they announced something else, the possibility of blocking Telegram. And so Dourif is betting on the Global South. And I know this because in June he visited Kyrgyzstan, in July Uzbekistan, Usmanov, a billionaire, is his main investor. And in August, Azerbaijan, where he crossed paths with Putin, but didn't meet. And so Dourif has been preparing for this global information war since the beginning of the year. Let me give you another conspiracy theory. Dourif and the global finance. Now, Dourif's arrest could be associated not so much with an attempt to bring Telegram's information flows under the control of the Western political system, but with much more serious financial processes. And the fact that Dourif was forced to create his own financial system, Toncoin, for his platform, isolated, independent from the fiat currency, the rulers of the global financial system. And this year he saw major advances to his project. And so as a result, Dourif could become, if things went his way, the most influential non-systemic person in the world. Would the United States allow that? It's an open-ended question. And so it was the attempt to build an independent financial system through crypto assets that Dourif made this year that became apparently, the final trigger for the takedown of Telegram. And so the charges brought against Dourif place a significant emphasis on an attempt to circumvent the financing mechanisms controlled by the collective West. And this is a very important nuance that many have overlooked. What does that mean? Let's put it in context. We need to familiarize ourselves with the material about the difficulties in financing Telegram. The point is that Dourif's wayward character and refusal to play by the rules of the system led to the fact that the IPO that he started in the jurisdiction of the United States, I think in the year 2020, okay, became impossible, and there are no other options for raising billions of dollars. And in addition, you have problems arose with financing the development of Telegram through alternative financing such as ICO, convertible bonds, et cetera, et cetera. And so apparently large credit tranches also became problematic. And after the SEC decision in early 2020, institutional investors in the United States and Europe, well, they turned away from Telegram. And then after 3 years of silence, this year Dourif tried for the second time. And so what did he try? Well, Dourif planned to make Toncoin the main cryptocurrency integrated into Telegram. Why is this important? Because this would allow users to make transactions, pay for the premium features, support content created directly in the application. And one of the key projects was the development of a payment system based on Toncoin, which would allow users to make instant transfers and also payments. And this would include not only internal transactions, but also support for external payments, which could make Telegram a full-fledged financial platform. Now, let me ask you again, would the United States of America allow another player in the field? It's an open-ended question. Dourif also planned to implement support for NFTs based on TON and the platform for creating, selling, exchanging these non-fungible tokens was supposed to become a very important part of Telegram, allowing users to create and also trade digital assets directly within the messenger. I want to remind you that from March, if I'm not mistaken, March 3rd to June 2024, the TON cryptocurrency grew almost four times from $2 to $8. I think it's like five and change right now. In fact, TON Durov's cryptocurrency could become the only cryptocurrency backed by real cash flows amongst a huge social base with the potential to generate literally hundreds of billions of dollars in turnover per year. And so Durov wanted to create his own financial system, isolated, independent from the fiat currency and also the rules of the global financial system. So my question is, would the elite allow that to happen? And so Durov had all the prerequisites, the resources to do this, almost 1 billion users and a developed digital infrastructure. So Durov could have become the most influential, again, non-systemic person in the world. And that was the idea. Whether it's Durov, the brains of the operation, his brother, or again, Russian state using Durov as the Wizard of Oz. We don't have answers to these questions. I'm just telling you what my intelligence source told me. Now, another thing about Durov that goes beyond the superficial chatter, he was very, very much at odds with the Trotskyist leftists who have taken over this global agenda today. Durov is a libertarian, just like Elon Musk, meaning that in his value system, freedom is a very serious priority. Now, the leftists, on the other hand, believe that freedom has very little, offer as far as the public good is concerned. We know how the leftists are in the United States. And so the problem with Durov and this entire global libertarian ideology is that it can be adequately perceived by a very tiny percentage of the population, since along with freedom comes responsibility, but this doesn't really matter. Self-control is a key condition for freedom, and in our case, absolute freedom also implies absolute responsibility, which simply cannot exist on the planet Earth. We'll be back in a few minutes. We're back. This is Daniel Estulin sitting in for Alex Jones. Thanks for joining us. Again, my webpage is estulin.media, and our YouTube channel, you're seeing it right now, it's Daniel Estulin Official. So again, the problem with Durov, it's a problem with Elon Musk. I'm going to be talking about Elon Musk and Alex Jones special report in a few minutes, is that he is a libertarian. Because so for him, the whole idea of freedom with a capital F, it's a very big thing. It's not just a T-shirt that you sell at a Trump rally. It's a big deal. But again, with freedom comes responsibility. Now, the leftists, again, on the other hand, they're quite practical in their approach to life. They know that human beings are flawed. And they hate us with every fiber in their body. And they believe that only they, the Clintonites, the Obamas, the leftists, they know what's best for us. And only they can assure a fair world order. And therefore, if necessary, they can easily kill 5 billion people for our own good. I want to remind you of the Club of Rome report. After millions and millions of dollars spent on studies, the Club of Rome decided that the enemy of humanity is humanity, obvious. I'm going to kill you for your own good. And so in this sense, Durov is in complete disagreement with the West in general in its current form. And thus, although on the surface, both Macron and Durov are in favor of freedom, in reality, Durov is an idealist completely unsuited to reality. And Macron is a banal zoological fascist with a liberal populist rhetoric. Another difference is that Macron can arrest Durov and Durov cannot arrest Macron. And let me give you one more conspiracy theory. Now, Durov's ideas, they do not fit into this fascism of totalitarian dictatorship. Or maybe you want to call this happy digital future of Western democracies. Now, Karl Marx said, it's impossible to live in a society and be free from that society. And so, at this historical stage of human development, freedom, that ceases to be a value. And therefore, whoever promotes its ideal is already a criminal against society. And whoever has the resources, in the case of Telegram, with 1 billion people as its subscriber base, well, that person is not just a criminal, but a particularly dangerous criminal. And by the way, that's why they destroyed Assange, as an example to everyone else who believed in the so-called freedom. And so that freedom had to be cut off at the root. That's the liberal left-wing ideology. And I'm going to tell you something else. I think Dourif is not the key element in this equation. I think what these people are really after is a guy by the name of Elon Musk. But they can't arrest Musk right away. They got to arrest Dourif, see what happens. You're going to have another pandemic. Before you have another pandemic, the real pandemic, you needed to have a COVID pandemic. So they can, you know, play with things. Fine-tune the operation. The same thing with Dourif. And the problem with Musk, who is also an idealist and also does not fit into this current framework. Now, Musk might feel like he's protected in some way because he works closely with the Republican Party. You know what they say about the winds of change. And so in closing, I think Pavel Dourif was arrested in Paris. We know that. And this is the latest proof that no one will be able to maintain neutrality during this total global war on humanity. Because that's what it is. They are at war with us, the people. Because these are two irreconcilable worlds pitted against each other. Us against them. And there's an abyss between us. Triple citizenship, confused loyalties, bank accounts all over the world, private jets, maneuvering between sides. All this is a thing of the past. Either you're with us or you're against us. Remember what George Bush quipped? I can't believe I'm quoting George Bush. And since networks and information flows play a key role in modern warfare, the first victims of this irreconcilable division are those who have the resources. Again, I think the real object in this game is Elon Musk. We're coming up with the special report, Alex Jones' special report on Elon Musk. I'm Daniel Estulin. Thanks for joining us again. My page is estulin.media, and my official YouTube channel is Daniel Estulin Official. Thanks for joining us. And until next week, I'll be back next week for more. Goodbye.
Pavel Durov is a political prisoner now in France because he didn't roll over to the globalist deep state. But the real message here is that Elon Musk is their main target, and he should not step foot inside the tyrannical EU. This is really important, so please listen to me and do your own research, because this is a big deal. This is a bellwether. This is a canary in the coal mine. Pavel Durov, the founder of Telegram, which is globally many times bigger than X, was lured into France a few days ago, as most of you know, by Macron. The police told him this. It's now confirmed, to have dinner with him. The guy's never been accused of being a criminal, never, you know, really had any issues. But he will not let the United States government, the EU, into his operation and to surveil people without a warrant. He is the only other big tech titan in the West, other than Elon Musk, to say no and to not give in to just giant blanket censorship. If stuff's illegal, he'll block it, just like Elon Musk will.
We get too much attention from the FBI, the security agencies, wherever we came to the U.S. So to give you an example, last time I was in the U.S., I brought an engineer that is working for Telegram, and there was an attempt to secretly hire my engineer behind my back by cybersecurity officers or agents, wherever they are called.
The U.S. government should hire your engineer?
That's my understanding. That's what he told me.
To write code for them or to break into Telegram?
They were curious to learn which open source libraries are integrated to the Telegram's app, you know, on the client side. And they were trying to persuade him to use certain open source tools that he would then integrate into the Telegram's code that, in my understanding, would serve as backdoors.
Would allow the U.S. government to spy on people who use Telegram?
The U.S. government, or maybe any other government, because a backdoor is a backdoor, regardless of who is using it.
That's right. And that's a little surprising to hear. Maybe it's not surprising. It's offensive. You're confident that happened?
Yes. there is no reason for my engineer to make up the stories. Also because I personally experienced similar pressure in the U.S. Whenever I would go to the U.S., I would have two FBI agents greeting me at the airport, asking questions. One time I was having my breakfast at like 9 a.m. and the FBI showed up at my house that I was renting. And that was quite surprising. And I thought, you know, we're getting too much attention here. It's probably not the best environment to run.
Why would the, had you committed a crime?
No. They were interested to learn more about Telegram. They knew I, you know, left Russia. They knew what we were doing, but they wanted details.
And so now they brought him into court today and charged him with a whole giant raft of crimes, €5 million bond. He can't leave the country. And they're trying to put him in prison for a very long time. And they admit, so he will roll over and give the NATO-US globalist alliance that controls our nations and that are running our nations to the ground full control of his company. Now, there's a lot to unpack here, but the big takeaway is this. This is a message to Elon Musk. They really want to take him down. Elon is number one now in the West when it comes to social media interaction. It surpassed Meta, Instagram, and Facebook combined. It's incredible. Telegram is bigger totally because it's used more globally by the most number of nations. But when it comes to the West, it's so key. Elon Musk is even more important with X than Telegram. So this is a precedent-setting case. The EU is talking about criminal charges against Musk. We have the corrupt communists in Brazil saying it. We've had the Australian government say it. We've had the British government say they want to arrest Elon Musk. They're really trying to push this idea. So I think it's important for Elon in the near future not to be traveling to Europe, even though he's got Tesla factories and other things over there, because we're already in World War III with the Russians. And the globalists for election control and so many other issues, they want to be able to control every major outlet out there. And that's why, again, they are going after Telegram and X. Now, in the case of Huawei, that is a communist Chinese operation. It is 5G. They run a lot of the U.S. elections on it with some of the big software companies. That's a problem. The communist Chinese are the West enemies. But saying Elon Musk and saying that Pavel Durov are bad is just absolutely insane. But this is standard procedure. I've been debanked. I've been sued. I've been attacked by the deep state. They admit the State Department, the FBI, the CIA ran the attacks. That's come out in court. And the same thing's happening to Trump and many of his administration officials, former officials are in jail right now for absolutely nothing. And now Jack Smith's reindicted Trump again. All of this is totalitarianism, like you would see in Nazi Germany or communist China today. And it's a clear and present danger, really the number one danger to all of our freedoms, because the deep state, the Democratic Party system, along with some of the neocons and rhinos, literally are treating anybody and everybody, including U.S. citizens, as if they're terrorists. And now the U.K. said they're going to list misogynistic activity as terrorism. And they're arresting people because they say the migrants are committing disproportionate number of rapes, which is true. And if journalists report on it, they get arrested. This isn't mild tyranny. This isn't medium tyranny. This is super intense, out of control tyranny. So just like Julian Assange was a political prisoner, now Pavel Durov is a political prisoner. And the whole world and journalists and government leaders need to come out against this. Now, some of the major governments in the Middle East, like Dubai, have come out and said, listen, we're going to pull our money out of your stock market. We're going to kill deals for $15+ billion in fighter jets from France, because they realize how incredibly dangerous this is, because a lot of those Arab countries are heavily invested in France. And they already saw how, again, the French government set up Muammar Gaddafi, got him to invest all his money, mainly in France, and then they went in with NATO and killed his ass. So this is extremely dangerous, very kleptocratic by the French government, basically behaving like the Nazis, and is something that threatens all of us. Because if they can get Pavel Durov, if they can get Elon Musk, if they can get Donald Trump, they can get anybody. And as Trump always says, they're not trying to get him. He's standing in the way. They got to get through him to get to us. And that's what this is. When Harris and Biden, and she was the tie-breaking vote, hired 86,000 more IRS agents to target service workers like waitresses and masseuses and beauticians to literally go after people that were not paying $2,000 or $3,000 a year in taxes and who need that money to live. These are monsters that want to squeeze you, and Trump is trying to stop that. So the deep state's desperate. This global corporate BlackRock combine knows the world's turning against them, and that's why they have arrested this innocent man who they criminally lured to France. That's why we're all Pavel Durov. We are all being inducted into a totalitarian social credit score AI control grid, and we've got to stand up for ourselves right now and self-determine and tell the globalists we are not your slaves. 40-plus days ago, the deep state tried to kill Trump. It was a stand down, and now they're involved in a giant cover up. And I've been telling Trump since then he needs to come out and say what everybody else already knows. It is obvious that they tried to get him killed. It was not just negligence. It was criminal negligence, bare minimum. And most of the experts agree, in fact, they all do, that he had help and there was probably two shooters. They didn't just stand down. They opened the door for him. And the local police, for many, many minutes, were pointing it out, saying, stop him. But the Secret Service refused any extra help. They refused to sync the radios. It's always done as a standard operating procedure. They didn't put people on the roof. There was a deliberate stand down, ladies and gentlemen. And finally, President Trump has come out and said that he partially blames Harris and Biden. It was Mayorkas that refused to give him the security he needed. And ladies and gentlemen, Trump is so much more popular now. He's way ahead of them in all the real polls. These criminals are more desperate than ever to kill him. And so Trump's been so stoic about this. He hasn't made a big deal about the assassination attempt. He needs to make this front and center, or they are going to try again for sure.
I've always been sort of angry. You know, we talk about Secret Service. He always made it very tough for us to have the proper number of Secret Service people. And I don't know whose fault it is, but I will tell you, I'd have these massive rallies with 50, 60,000 people or more. And our people were always fighting to get more security, more Secret Service. And he knew that we didn't have enough. And he'd have a rally of three or four people. I mean, nobody would go. If he had a rally, if he got 20 people, it was a lot. Nobody would go. They'd stand on a road and they'd look for people to try and be there, like he had somebody behind him. And yet he had a massive contingent of Secret Service. And I know that they wanted to have his people come over to these big rallies that I was having. And I know that it was a very tough situation. So, you know, when this happened, people would ask, whose fault is it? I think to a certain extent, it's Biden's fault and Harris's fault. And I'm the opponent. Look, they were weaponizing government against me. They brought in the whole DOJ to try and get me. They weren't too interested in my health and safety. I would be if I were in their position, but they weren't very interested. But they were always making it, from what I understood, and I could feel it, they were making it very difficult to have proper staffing in terms of Secret Service.
I'm not saying that they wanted you to get shot, but do you think it was okay with them if you did?
I don't know. I mean, I don't know. There's a lot of hatred. I don't know why. I had a great presidency. We had the best economy we've ever had. We had job numbers that were unbelievable.
And of course, you have the FBI director testifying. Maybe a bullet didn't even hit Trump and all this other asinine crap. When the public didn't buy that, they pulled back. Well, now they've released new information today and say there was no motive why they got into his phone, and they just didn't know why he did it. He was a Democrat. He gave to Democrats. He told people he didn't like Trump. He trained at a DHS training center over 100 times. He made weird trips to areas near the FBI building in D.C., according to the metadata on his phone. And then the FBI tried to claim that Iran was behind it. Did Iran have a Secret Service stand down? I predicted they would start saying that. And now they're saying Iran's going to kill Trump. And so if Iran kills Trump, or they blame Iran, why, we've got to blow up Iran. Perfect. Kill Trump, start World War III. This is such a dangerous time for not just America, but the world. We have the globalist debt bubble coming to an end. They want to launch their new global currency, their central bank digital systems. They want to launch their social credit scores using AI to control our every move and political activity. And the carbon tax, but the people aren't buying it. So they're more desperate than ever to launch a new pandemic, a new emergency, new emergency orders, new attempts at forced shots. Democrat cities across the country are already using mosquitoes and other excuses to lock cities down in Massachusetts, and masks are going back on. And they're saying you've got to take another COVID shot. Some people have now taken 10, and Fauci's got West Nile. They are going to turn the heat up on maximum because they know they are losing. They are desperate. The world's waking up. That's why it's time to be more vocal than ever, more peaceful than ever, because they're going to try to false flag us and set us up. And it's now more important to support the true independent media that is the dominant media now, and to support President Trump and to vote, and to get everyone else you know to vote, because this is do or die time. But thank God Trump is starting to really focus on this, because it is beyond critical. We'll